I played the game the way I wanted to play it. I played it to win. And there was no friends on the ice. They were all enemies.
You think I'm proud of myself? I'm not.
Dylan, you son of a bitch.
Palat wanted to fight Lindsay there, too. And Lindsay looked as if he wouldn't have minded fighting both of them, Bill.
I can go to rehab. I can do 2 weeks in rehab, standing on my head.
Hall of Famer, Terrible Ted. Ted Lindsay.
I think you're going to see that you all need me to be sick.
Is Ted Lindsay, the Red Wings, who has a long and a glorious career in the National Hockey League.
Shiny and sparkly and splendidly bright. Here one day, gone one night, gone too soon.
What's poppin'? We're in the DealsInTheD.com studios for the Tuesday Drew and Mike show, Punchki Day.
Hey, that's right.
Really?
Yes, it is. It's a late fat Tuesday. Huh. But John Dingell's not around to send us punchkis anymore.
No.
So.
What congressman is going to send us punchkis?
Who's going to pick up? Who's going to suck it up for Dingell?
Justin Amash?
Maybe. Whitmer?
Jason.
She's not fixing the damn roads.
You heard the open there with the death triangle, which is, wow, what a brutal death triangle as we lose Ted Lindsay, one of Detroit's all-time favorites.
He's awesome.
Terrible Ted, number 7, 4 Stanley Cups, 8-time first-team All-Star, 93 years old. He still had a locker.
Yeah.
In the Red Wings locker room.
That's a great story, yeah.
At Little Caesars Arena. And I had so much fun meeting Ted over the years since I've been here. The first time was when I went to fantasy camp at Joe Louis Arena. Frank Audia won.
Oh, really?
At Plant Moran. He used to do my taxes for a while. He's a partner now.
Ooh. Ooh.
Frank won. Frank did some play-by-play, I think, on the air and won the fantasy camp trip that we gave away.
Nice.
So he was playing, and I got to meet Ted. Ted played with the campers.
Oh, that's cool.
Or anything from, 15 years old to 60 years old, probably.
And he's 70 at the time.
I think he was 72 or 73.
Wow.
And it was funny. I was watching this play in front of the net, and I saw, oh, my God, that guy just really got hacked. And I was like, that was Ted. Ted Lindsay hacked that guy.
That's awesome.
So he never changed his ways.
No, he didn't. What? He led the league in penalty minutes in 58, 59.
Wow.
But, all these guys at the camp, it was like he was one of the campers.
Yeah.
He had so much fun playing with them. And Frank said that he played with Ted's team one day, and Ted said, if anybody gives you a cheap shot, you let me know what their number is.
He's the enforcer.
He seemed like he had a playful behavior his entire life. My friend D ran into him at a hockey game last year. He goes, Ted was a ball. Yeah.
Always smiling, always laughing, always friendly, classy, just a great guy.
We had him in the studio once for a long time. And then Brandon and I watched a quarter of a hockey game with him before he got kicked out at Comerica Park, the outdoor game.
Who would kick Ted out?
Who would kick Brandon and I out? We were minding our own business.
It was during the Comerica Park, what was it?
The old timers game?
Yeah, the alumni game.
Yeah, the alumni game.
And Mark and I were on the glass with Ted Lindsay, and we were the only ones there that weren't taking pictures. So the first period, you could see us on TV, and then they kicked our asses out.
Why?
Because we shouldn't. We're
no
just
one was supposed to be down,
they,
no one was supposed
they
to be down
kick
there.
Ted out, did they?
I think, no, they kicked us out.
They didn't kick Ted out. That was his building.
Brandon and I got kicked out. They escorted Ted out.
I see.
Wow.
Well,
he was nice.
He was so friendly. Cool. And, when he came in, I know the second time he came in, I think was for autism, which he gave $3.5 million to this autism charity. He started because a friend of his had a son with autism, and he just picked up the mantle and started this charity. And he did events. He did golf tournaments. He's just a great – there's just not enough you can say about him.
No.
And such a great player, and he started the union.
Yeah.
The union. And so all the players, modern players, are still very indebted to Ted. He's just such a classic hockey player. Hockey players have always been the most laid back of all the sports athletes, team sport guys.
Yeah, they are.
And he was definitely in that category. Played with Gordie Howe, who we lost in 2016. Those are two of just phenomenal, phenomenal people. So, boy, that's really... But he was 93. Mm. He died peacefully. I hope that's true.
He had a good time in his 93
years. He did.
Years.
He absolutely did. And he was a god at Joe Louis Arena and at LCA. He showed up for a lot of games, and, you know, he was a fixture. So he lived here 70 years.
Wow.
And he also, I saw a clip on the new news where Ted and Gordie Howe received death threats before a game. There were death threats back then. Not so often.
Boy, I'm trying to figure out why. Why would those two get death threats?
Because they were playing Toronto, and it was a heated series in 56.
Oh, yeah.
Ted scored the winning. Ted and Gordie played. They're like, whatever. They played, and after the game, Ted scored the winning goal, and he did like a machine gun with his gun stick around the arena after
That's
the game.
That's great.
He was a badass.
Conn Smythe, there's a...
Oh, the MVP Smythe award thing. Is named after Ted Lindsay. As of 2010, it's the Ted Lindsay Award, mm-hmm. the MVP trophy.
But Conn Smythe hated him because he left Canada and came down to Detroit.
I didn't know he and Conn Smythe had
apparently there was
beef.
A thing. A wow. beef.
It's the only way to categorize it.
Back then, they had beefs.
He led the league in goals, by the way, in 1947-48. Scored 335 with the Wings. He's the sixth all-time. And he played a long, long, long time ago. Well, he led the league in 47-48. He was 22. He is one of only 13 people with 800 points, 1,800 penalty minutes, and 1,000 games, and the only one in that category that played before 1979. And I think he retired in early 60s. So just amazing. I mean, there just isn't enough you can say about him. Then the Prodigy lead singer, apparently, I don't know much information about this. He committed suicide, Keith Flint?
Yeah.
Wow, does anybody know what was going on with him?
Maybe he woke up and realized he was the lead singer of Prodigy. Sorry, too soon?
He's always been a little...
He's been
he ran out of eyeliner? Establishment, and he's had quotes in the past saying, when I'm done, I'm just going to kill myself.
You started it.
I didn't start anything. You did it.
Green blobs.
Was he married?
He's back.
Yes.
Oh, he was?
I heard his wife was out of the country or something when this happened. That's about all I really heard.
Actually, being the lead singer of Prodigy is not too bad, considering their home was worth £1.5 million. I don't know what else he did after Prodigy.
Well, that was back in the day when people
made money.
Here's his wife right here. She's really cute.
Oh. Wow, she skies over him.
Wow.
Yeah, he was a little dude.
Oh. Nice hat.
Sorry. Oh, does he look...
That
he
looks,
sorry, not sorry.
It's a weird picture.
Well, he always looked weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Luke Perry.
Oh, that one shocked me.
From that stroke. Yeah. And
even though
Twitter and Facebook are agog over Luke Perry because...
Well, we were fucking great guys. And this is a fucking asshole of a day.
He was only 54. He was thin. He was in good shape. He apparently ate well. And there's so many people who he was their heartthrob in the 902.
Hi, I'm Dylan. I'm an alcoholic.
Is that why? Was hilarious.
Really was the best character.
Yeah, there's a lot of heartthrob comments.
Oh, no, I was wondering if because he was
an alcoholic. No, that was Dylan, not Luke.
Dylan,
and
right.
It's hard to tell them apart.
He was a heroin addict, too, right?
He was a heroin addict.
Dylan.
Yeah, his mother was killed.
Yeah, his wife was killed.
Oh, his wife was killed,
yeah,
too?
That, do you have that?
You the manager? Well,
how can I
pause it for a sec.
Where's my wife's grave?
So, basically, Dylan left the show, got married, she died for some reason, and he went to go honor her at the grave. But it wasn't her grave anymore.
What?
Wait a minute.
Somebody else's headstone was on there. So this is him confronting the manager.
Wait, hold that thought because this
is... Oh,
this is
intense.
No, I know, but we've got to...
Where is Dylan's dead wife?
I need to mention two important things. One is that Facebook Live is brought to you by Mesa Tacos and Tequilas, located in the heart of downtown Royal Oak on Main Street between 3rd and 4th. And they have 150 of the world's most premium tequilas. If you're a tequila drinker and you haven't been to Mesa, what is going on with you?
I don't know.
Plus the 35-foot screen. March Madness is coming up. We've got the Michigan State game. Is that this weekend?
Saturday, 8 o'clock.
Oh, my God. Saturday night will be a big one in front of the 35-foot screen. And many other screens, too. If there's other games on, you can probably find those. Then it's, let's see, All You Can Eat Taco Tuesday tonight. $13 All You Can Eat Taco Tuesdays. Open Mic Wednesdays with half-off bottles of wine and pitchers of sangria. Trivia Thursday, which... I know they've got a nice following for that. You can win cash and fabulous prizes, plus the amazing Sunday brunch from 11 till 2 p.m. and get 10% off the Drew and Mike discount. And one other thing we wanted to mention before we hear from Luke Perry, I know this is, I hate putting this off because I know people are so excited, and we will get to Leaving Neverland, and we have some other great 90210 scenes. Yes, it's just
disgusting.
I know it's a really tough topic, and it's making me mad today because there's a lot of back and forth of, you know, they're liars and
it's BS. Yeah. They made it up.
Very mean.
I've heard some stuff I just really made me mad today.
And the contingent of people who are calling all the other people liars have no foundation, actually, for doing it. They're just saying it.
Well,
they don't know.
If you know anything about child molestation, people don't always just come out with the truth right away.
No, it hurts because it's a very
complicated.
Them.
In a way, it's almost a textbook pedophile. The way he groomed them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know,
the things he did, and
I really don't want to get too deeply into it because we got other things to hit first. But it's very, very complicated, and it's not incredibly surprising the way it did come out. But anyway, today was Trudy's first day at 106.7.
My first day.
WLLZ Wheels.
It's my first day.
How did it go?
It was great. I mean, I was super nervous, of course.
I know first days are terrible on the radio.
Yeah.
Something
inevitably may not fire on the board, or did you have any of those?
As though I actually ran the board, is what you're saying?
Yeah, you did.
You had a board op?
Yes, because I don't know why, but all the years that I've worked with you guys, you always ran the board. So I've been sort of, I've got to learn how to do it. And Podell's going to teach me, by the way.
It's
He's
not hard.
The afternoon dude. But that
Very
was
good.
But it was cool because God, the music is so cool.
No, classic rock, which by the way,
the new generation,
the new generation.
I like that designation. I think that's huge because classic. Well, we talked about this yesterday. That there's this the old classic rock,
right.
And the people that really like that are getting up there. So you know, you want to appeal to those 30 to 50 year olds, and that's probably what the new classic rock will do, because there's a lot of 90s music. I heard Green Day on there.
Yeah.
I heard the Foo Fighters this morning.
A lot of Foo Fighters, Beastie
I think
Boys.
You played the Foo Fighters.
Beastie Boys, what Beastie Boys song?
Foo Fighters twice, actually.
Really?
Fight for Your Right.
Nice.
To Partay.
What was the second Foo Fighters song?
I don't remember.
The catalog is so deep.
Wait, Learning to Fly?
Well, I was Learning to Fly, and then I don't know what the second one was.
Ever Long?
Because everything is just a fugue state for me from today. My mind is blown.
Nice grilling her on her first day.
Sorry.
We were excited.
Radiohead, we played that.
I heard it.
Yeah.
I was listening a lot to I Wanted to Hear Your Breaks.
Thank
I heard
you.
Bill's Breaks, too, in the morning. So.
Yeah.
The core artists are Nirvana, Guns N' Roses.
Ozzy.
Ozzy.
Is Led Zeppelin in play?
Zepp.
Yep.
Did they play a lot of Zeppelin, do you know?
Played a couple this morning, at least one. Yeah.
Really?
And it melds really nicely, too. It's an actual real cool fusion of all those things. Chili Peppers, another core.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I have to
I saw the core list of artists, and I just remember Nirvana, Guns N' Roses. And
I think it's on the
is Metallica one of them?
Jet Metallica. We play.
I could just read the article.
Play Cold Hard Bitch, one of my favorite tunes. I love that song.
Oh, we were just talking about Jet.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So it was exciting because it was so broad. There's so vast all the possibilities there.
Well, I tweeted out that there's so much great music in classic rock and. I'm always hoping that someone will play some of it that isn't played.
Yep.
So, hopefully WLLZ is a station. But
we played Queen, we played Van Halen, we played Def Leppard,
Van
Kiss,
Halen, of course. AC/DC.
AC/DC. So you can see kind of how the parameters are way broader.
Motley Crue.
Weird
Crue. Yeah.
Yeah, there's just so much music.
White Snake.
They mention including songs from artists like AC/DC, Nirvana, Guns N' Roses, Metallica, Ozzy Osbourne, and Pearl Jam. Of course, Pearl Jam.
Nice.
Featuring some of Detroit's most beloved on-air personalities, including Trudy.
That's post.
Trudy Daniels.
Woo!
Doug Podell and Bill McAllister, as well as other legendary on-air personalities in Rock Detroit Radio. Who would be those other legendary personalities?
Whoa. Ha ha ha.
Detroit Wheels is back, said Paul Corvino, region president for iHeartMedia Detroit. Oh, Paul. The Attitude Music, he's a pretty cool GM. The Attitude Music and personalities featured on 106.7 Detroit Wheels is a perfect formula and will contribute to building a great audience for advertisers. And also probably maybe give those people who've had a free pass for so long a little run for their money.
I don't know. I just know I love being there. Casey, by the way, is a program director. He is the best program
Casey
director
Krakowski.
Ever.
Very nice guy, yeah.
Best program
ever,
director ever.
You've only ever, ever.
Uh-oh, don't let Doug hear that.
Wait, but yes.
in one day. What did he do the first day that was so great?
It's not just the first day. I've talked to him for a little while, and he's always cool and upbeat and really supportive. And I don't know, everybody there is really cool. We have a lot of people that we used to work with there in that building.
Is that so? Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, a lot of salespeople.
Well,
yeah.
That's cool.
Well, let's see how day two goes tomorrow, and we'll get another review on Wednesday, possibly.
Excellent. Trudy,
are you going to be really... Maz has offered to do a second day if you can't handle 3 days.
Oh, has he stepped up for
that? Yes, he has.
So nice
really
of him.
Really nice.
He was really trying to help.
You should read did you read the other
That's
text
cool.
he sent?
I know. He said Luke Perry's blowing up on Facebook.
He said...
Does he feel like Luke Perry doesn't deserve to be blowing up?
No, I think he was amazed at what a big story it was. It is a big story.
It was a huge story.
Yeah. And by the way, Mike and I were amazed by him on Celebrity Jeopardy. He was really good.
Oh, he's brilliant?
Yes, he's very smart.
Oh.
He is.
I loved him.
Mind your own business, Brandon.
He was on Riverdale most recently. That was the thing.
Archie's father.
Yeah, I was trying to think of what his most current thing is.
So he's done a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he has done a lot
he
of
seems
stuff.
Like a, actually, he really seems like a good guy. I always made fun of him when he was Dylan because he was so cliche. But he was
You're making fun
was
of
good
Dylan.
I watched the show. I did watch
Dylan.
It.
Dylan!
I
mean,
there was something dumbly watchable about it.
I can't believe how many people on that show had a drug problem.
I know.
Which made it hilarious because TV, you know, that kind of a trite show like that handling a drug problem.
Did they invent Intervention? Did Intervention come after
it was a spinoff.
This?
Intervention was a spinoff of Beverly Hills 90210.
That's interesting. Intervention probably did come not too long after 90210.
Yeah.
I was watching the 10-year reunion show, by the way. Ian Ziering.
Worst character in television history, by the way. Steve.
Yeah.
Steve is terrible.
Idiot.
Yeah.
Total dolt.
Who's Paula Faris on ABC? Talking about it, called him Ian Ziering. I'm like,
yo!
Definitely.
Good job, Paul. Yes. I'm sure she did it on purpose.
Better.
Twice. So she's going
to
dash
off. I think I did it when we talked to him. I forgot his name was Ian.
What kind of a wiener name is that?
Exactly.
I did too, and he corrected me. He was kind of mad about it.
Ian. Knock it off. Why does he correct people, by the way? Everyone gets it wrong.
Correct people? You're in Sharknado. You need to shut F up.
Nice name, not...
That might be the end of Ian Ziering. Well, maybe I'll get another gig. Anyway, I know we have this important 90210 piece of audio waiting. But first, boy, we're really pushing this off. Mother Nature, and we will talk about leaving Neverland. There's so much to say about it. I mean, it's one of those things everybody wanted to take a shower or a bath after watching it. But
God, it was so horrible.
Lot to unpack. And another episode tonight. And Oprah afterwards, and Oprah
Oprah's
is getting
shit,
so much shit.
Hashtag mute Oprah. That's trending.
Good luck muting Oprah.
Mute Oprah.
You know, that's so... we'll have to hold on. Mother Nature's been punished all of us this winter, including we got a little snow today, but our friends at Zot-Dodge Ram.
Oprah's minge.
They want to ease your pain and suffering during Ram Trucks. Truck Month. Zot Dodge Ram is offering 19 four-door Ram 1500 4x4s at just $99 a month. You heard right, $99 a month. That's cheaper than your cable TV bill, cheaper than your phone bill, cheaper than your everything. Plus, if you don't have a 4x4, that's what you'll be doing, sitting on your ass at home watching TV. So, go see our friends at Zot Dodge Ram today. They don't have Maz, but they have Stephanie. She's cuter, and she would love to put you in a new Ram for $99 a month, only from your friends at dealsinthed.com, of which studios we are currently in. And, Trudy, you want to pull up the Dr. Roche stuff? Hopefully it's on your phone, too. It was a year ago this week.
I can read it.
I think it's time for me to go to Dr. Roche, because if I'm going to get less sleep, I'm just going to need more BBL.
It was a year ago this week we welcomed another doctor, Dr. Yaldo, to the podcast, joining our sponsors like Dr. Roche, David Hall, Zot Ford, We don't have a sales staff, so we like to keep sponsors around, and they do stay when they consistently provide great service and the results our listeners expect. And our listeners have been very good about using our advertisers, which is making this thing work somehow. Dozens of you have trusted your eyes to them and gotten the results you wanted. Get rid of glasses, contacts, reading glasses, getting amazing vision in return. Whether it's the custom CATS LASIK or the multifocal implants, the Rolls-Royce surgery for people 50-plus, Dr. Yaldo, over half of his patients get better than 20/20 vision. The rest settle for 20/20, which, of course, is still the definition of perfect vision. Make 2019 the year you dump the old technology and recapture the great vision of your youth. The evaluation is free, and if you do get surgery, you'll get the Drew and Mike discount. 1-800-398-EYES, 1-800-398-EYES, or go to Yaldo Eye Center. Dr. Roche?
Dr. Roche is offering something very special for the month of March up until tomorrow.
Well, hurry. Hurry, hurry, hurry.
For three Diva treatments, just $38.50. And those are actually, you can get them, go back to work. 3 minutes, I think they say, each one takes. And
that's almost $700 off. I know.
An amazing, significant change in a lot of different things.
Let's sit, kinda, people enjoy sex like more.
Yeah, I enjoy sex.
Get off!
You also will get a G-shot. I think that's what the G in G-shot stands for, is get off. So that, with this Diva treatment, is for free.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh.
And you got one more day to call them and get in on that.
You can save $1,850 on that three Diva treatment for $38.50. So there.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Shot.
And, you know, I mean, it's not just for, you know, people who have been through childbirth and it just didn't bounce back the way they thought it would. For a lot of different situations. And, you know, why would you not want to feel better when you're...
Well, a lot of people have, and they're very happy with the results. You can actually read about all the happy people at WDROCHE, or call for an appointment, 248-338-1110, 248-338-1110. And boobs, boobs, always boobs, all sizes. Dr. Roche.
Breaking news with Mort Krim.
Believe me, I don't want to put off Dylan dressing down the groundskeeper of the cemetery any longer.
I thought maybe you made it breaking news so we would get to it finally.
No, it is legitimate breaking news.
Oh, my God.
This has been going on.
There's
for
so much breaking news all day.
The Danielle Stislicki disappearance.
Oh, yeah.
But now classified as a murder.
Okay.
And she's going to, the attorney general is going to have a press conference tomorrow about it. But just that they're charging with the guy we all know did it. I'll say it.
Berkeley resident?
Former Berkeley. He's now a resident of
Floyd Galloway?
Musening. Because that's where the correctional facility is.
Able to buy a house in Berkeley?
What?
What's the security?
Social strata?
The best house anyway? It's right next to the defunct ice arena that's going to be torn down because my mills are going to go up. Actually, I think we voted that down.
Yeah, boy.
It's your fault.
What?
The ice arena is going down?
Oh, that building has become a dump, and they want to rebuild it. And I think the people in the city are like, yeah, let's just do one thing at a time.
He's already in prison.
Yep.
Yeah. For
doing 16 to 35.
Attempted assault
of the woman in Livonia, the one that got away.
Jogging. Was it a jogging trail or something?
Yeah.
Who helped break the case.
Yes.
Because she got DNA under her fingernails.
Uh-huh.
Okay, serious issue, Shell thought. I read a lot about crime because true crime fascinates me. And I read about so many cases where, you know, murder is, we'll just make it second degree and we'll serve 8 years or whatever. This is an attempted assault. You got 16 to 35 years. I'm glad. I just soon put him away because it sounds like he did a lot worse. But 16 to 35 for an attempted?
Kidnapping charges, too.
The judge there. Yeah.
She got away, though, right?
I know. But he could have kidnapped her and then
I'm glad he's put away. I'm just saying. I'm just saying you read about murders that get shorter sentences than that.
It does seem high. So it must be a degree.
I'm glad. I mean, I'm okay with it. And it looks like he's going to get a whole lot more.
I got to say, it's interesting. What changed in this case? Or is it just that we have a new attorney general who wants to make her mark and says, this is a big unsolved crime. We are charging this guy.
Well, they
it's no lose for Dana Nessel to do this.
They searched the house. They did leave with something. I've forgotten what exactly.
A mattress
and floorboards.
Yeah.
They took floorboards.
Was he the security guard?
Yes.
Okay.
He once worked there. I don't think he was.
He knew her.
Yeah.
Where she worked, also her mother worked
there.
Well,
that was a really crazy story. And you would think with all the surveillance we have, that they would have somehow
seen,
you know, the cars following behind each other or something. I don't know, because she got her car to her apartment complex, and then she never got in, it seemed, because there wasn't her purse left in the car.
Her phone was gone, though, I thought. He chucked it.
Well, we'll find out more tomorrow.
I remember the day, though, that she went missing.
December 2nd.
We were going into the grocery store, and somebody was, slapping handbills up on the front door.
Oh, wow.
So that, you know, like, and pretty...
I can't imagine.
Papered all of Farmington Hills. They had a billboard and everything up until just recently.
They still haven't found her, right?
No.
No. And, you know, these cases without a body, it's...
Oh, it's heartbreaking for her family.
Yeah, this is really tough.
So are they just going to make a deal with them, like... Tell us where she is, and we'll...
They might do something like that since he already has a sentence.
16 to 35 years.
Another 20, maybe. I don't know.
I'd be fine with that.
I just feel like someone like that should never get out.
Well, no, but the rules being what they are, if you were her family, I think you'd be... I think you'd want the body.
If he's already sentenced for the previous incident, if they convict him on this, will he get a consecutive or a concurrent sentence?
Oh, yeah. He'll get consecutive, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he'll like prison food and penis.
Loser.
Yeah, well, hopefully he already does. So, okay, we'll find out more tomorrow. Now, the Luke Perry audio, as we do celebrate the life of Luke Perry, Luke was Dylan McKay on 90210, had the tumultuous relationship with Brenda. I was just watching them break up, by the way, earlier today.
Yeah,
that was tough.
Yeah, it was. They had just made out.
Yeah.
And she started talking about all the things were happening. So she said, I think it's she a junior in high school then or senior in high school. And she had just gotten birth control and been going to gynecologists. Everything was moving very fast.
Jeez.
I know. And she said, what would her parents think? And then she said, I have to break up with you. And then looks like, it's not going that fast. I don't know what you mean.
He didn't want to break up?
No. Well, he liked that she was on birth control. And
he wanted to hit
she
it.
She was getting off on it.
She's a square. Just like
hitting it hard.
Just like her loser brother.
Mind your own business, Brandon.
Insane.
Walshers were a bunch of losers. The dad, too.
They were stiffs.
They're big time
stiffs. The dad went to my high school, so easy on the dad.
The actor did, not the character.
And I would never have spotted him.
I like Jason Priestley, but you know what? I don't know. I don't know about Brandon Walsh.
Oh, in the 10-year reunion, by the way, Jason was saying how Brandon had been good for him as Jason. Because Brandon was such a good character that
so
he felt that he had learned something and Jason had rubbed off on him a bit over time.
Boy.
Oh, my God.
He's so
what a bunch of bullshit.
The show was heavy, man. I mean, let's play some Luke audio. Because
I never noticed, and I would never have made the call, that Uncle Rico was on that show unless Mark was pointing him out. He looks so different.
Since Trudy wants to delay him dressing down the... groundskeeper. We'll play.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin.
Who was Uncle Rico?
John Grease. He was the his dealer, his drug dealer.
Oh,
I figured the only one I got impressed in your family is Rocky.
This is also the same episode where they introduced Ray, the best character on the show.
How am I doing?
Jamie Walters.
I think he likes you.
Shut up, Donna.
I think so.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains?
Hey, where did it go? Did I miss it? Hang on. Oh, boy. No, I got to find it.
Donna can't be in there. She didn't even have a drug problem yet.
Yeah.
You blew it!
Here we go.
Oh, my God. The mopey music.
Dylan's at the pool hall.
Oh, here he is. Uncle Rico.
Motorcycle's parked in front.
Hey,
let's give him a high five where he...
always in a pinch.
Yeah, well,
handed something off into his hand. Cocaine.
Like an old street lamp turning on every night at 6.
So, a little 9-ball cover the freight there?
Oh, man, sorry.
Talk like that.
I don't gamble. Except with my life.
What? Drug dealer says that.
Well, I love that music.
You know, I got a little something special tonight. I don't know if you'd be interested in it.
What you got?
You ever chase a drag?
Ooh.
Heroin?
Yeah. Smoke a little bit makes coming in from a snowstorm a lot easier to take.
How much?
Here.
Slow down.
Sample on me.
Ooh, first one's always free.
Jimmy pool game.
It'll cost you.
God, don't do it, Dylan. It cost him pretty hard,
did
too.
Did he overact that?
Who?
Uncle Rico?
Trudy.
Never. Tree.
What are you talking about? Have a dog to
shut up, Donna.
Hey, we know chasing the dragons can be tricky.
Damn it, Dad, get off our Xbox.
Hang on, I almost caught the dragon.
You almost got me. No, me and Carl are going to play Guitar Hero.
I can get him. Wait, where's he going now?
You don't ever catch the dragon, Dad.
No! No, I said... I am your father. Put it back on.
Mom, you get Dad out of here.
Now, of course, after Dylan did the heroin, that's when he got in the car accident and ended up in the coma, just like real life.
Oh, boy.
He's in a coma.
Oh. Foreshadowing. That's pretty heavy.
Hold on to your dick.
Is it appropriate to play this?
It's appropriate to play that.
Where's the coma?
Oh.
Oh, is he in the coma? Is that why it's so quiet?
Well, here he is in the coma, if you want to remember the coma.
Well, no, I thought...
Oh, yeah, he's having these bad visions. Did his dad blow up in a car? I don't remember that.
I don't know. His mother was killed, though, wasn't she? Or that was his wife, I'm
his
sorry.
His wife, yeah.
That's,
and
his mother.
Then they move the body, leading to his meeting with the groundskeeper.
Ooh.
You the manager?
Well, how can I help?
Where's my wife's grave?
Well, I'm sorry, what was your wife's name?
Antonia McKay.
That was her old name, my man.
Try Marchette.
Well, I'm afraid Miss Marchette has been disinterred.
I know that she has been moved. What I need you to tell me is where is she now?
I'm afraid her family hasn't released that information.
I am her family.
I see. Very unusual.
Uh-oh. You tell me where she is.
I told you I don't have that
information. I said tell me!
Whoa!
I'm sorry, Ed.
You get an Emmy for that? That was heavy, man.
Wow. And don't forget, he was one of the early pioneers of having a gun.
Oh, that's right.
What's
this? What are you doing?
Wait,
with
pause
that?
It for a sec. So Dylan he was buying a gun to kill that guy that took his wife because he blames him for killing her.
Damn right.
You follow that. So he went and bought a gun off the streets for $200, which couldn't Dylan McKay just go into a store and buy a gun legitimately?
Mark, yeah. He's a senior in high school. I mean, think of all the stuff going down his senior year. He's trying to get through the year and do it efficiently. So, you know, he didn't have time to necessarily go in.
So, of course.
Buy a gun, fill out all the paperwork.
Of course.
Dylan McKay, he's a street guy anyway.
Well, he had people to kill, basically, was his point.
He's got a motorcycle.
So, he...
Brooding.
Brooding.
He's mysterious. Brooding.
So, of course, he buys the gun and just leaves it in his coat pocket. And when he's crashing with Steve and what's Brian Austin Green's character? David,
yeah.
David, and he's living with them. And the gun falls out of the pocket. And Steve goes, "What's that?" So they go and wake him up.
What's this? What are you doing with that? Look, I don't want any guns in my house, all right? So get it out of here.
Look, man, I didn't see anything about gun control in the lease, all right?
You know what, Dylan? I shot someone last year. It wasn't one of my finer moments, so just get the gun out of the house.
What?
All right, man. It'll be gone by tomorrow, if not tonight.
I see the way you checked out, Dylan.
Whoever said I checked in?
Yeah!
Who said I checked in?
Two great lines from Dylan there.
They're all so heavy,
but they weren't the only ones concerned about his gun.
Can I just point out, though, real quick, that Steve in that piece goes, "Hey, I shot someone last year. It wasn't my finest moment."
I don't remember that part.
What?
Yeah, because no one cares about
that's
Steve.
That's what he's saying, he doesn't want guns in his house?
Well, David's best friend got shot in season two. He was spinning the gun. Check this out. And then he shot himself. And
oh, what a
I gotta say, for that high
dipshit.
School, for all the stuff the people in that high school have been through, they're pretty well adjusted.
And it's Beverly Hills High.
Yeah, I know.
It's 90210.
The most entitled
How crazy.
Kids.
I know.
On my way over, I was wondering if you'd be glad to see me.
Oh, what are you kidding? You look good. Mm. You look real good. Ooh, what is it, laces? Oh, I thought this were obsolete by now. I thought we'd been looking into Velcro body pods or something.
Dylan, are you on something?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be all over you in just a minute. Go to Boothroyd's pool hall. You want some?
No, I've got to go to the fraternity party. I've got to be on my best behavior.
No, you definitely came to the wrong place because I had the most amazing day. Look at that. Look.
Dylan, what are those bullets for?
Oh, those for the gun.
my God.
What is the gun for?
It kind of goes with the bullets.
Yeah!
Dylan, you gotta get rid of that thing.
Hey, Val, lighten up. I'm just cleaning it. Look.
Dylan, my father killed himself that way.
Huh? Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but I don't need you coming over here and telling me all this depressing stuff. It's the first good day I've had in 2 months.
Dylan, please, just get rid of it, okay?
Why don't you just do us both a big favor, huh? Whoa. Skip on off to the frat party.
You're bringing Dylan down.
And if you notice,
I'm sorry to hear all that, but don't be bringing that depressing stuff.
Bring him down. He just had a good day. Dylan's been through so much.
I didn't know that he bought into half of the Peach Pit after dark.
Yeah.
And it was financial trouble.
It was a lot. He was a little overextended
with
the Peach Pit and the business kind of,
and Pumpkinhead was not happy with him.
Pumpkinhead ended up owning it for a good while too.
Oh,
when Pumpkinhead bought it?
Tiffany Amethyst.
Beverly Amethyst.
Isn't that when Beverly Amethyst started booking the Goo Goo Dolls and stuff?
Beverly Amethyst.
Weren't the Goo Goo Dolls in the Peach Pit? I'm almost positive.
Oh, yeah.
There were some other big bands, too.
What else do you have, Brandon?
I mean, it was rock.
We'll take a listen to the beginning of those clips, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
on my way over.
You the manager?
Everyone begins with the closing of a door, and the ending of every scene is with a, ominous music.
Wow. Never noticed that.
They got a lot of use out of that door.
Mind your own business, Brandon.
Sorry.
Can we? That's a great job. Can we listen to Donna Martin's drug problem? Donna got addicted to painkillers in season 8.
Whoa.
Way ahead of the time.
I think it's under Donna is Addicted to Drugs, season 8. And it is really intense.
That show was actually like very way ahead of its time.
It was.
Wasn't it?
I was stressing out all day watching these scenes.
Donna.
It's really long.
You okay?
No.
Are you feeling any better?
Actually, I took 2 pain pills, but it's still kind of throbbing.
Whoa, Vicodin.
Just looking at the label. Push to scuffle more. Ooh.
What is that? I thought you were holding off. Yeah, I was until about 4:30 this morning when it numbed the pain and helped me sleep.
Don't take it. At least you got it in case you need it, right? At least you got it in case you need it, right?
Wow, she's hearing double.
There's a voice in her head.
Is that Ray?
Oops, she just took a couple more.
She looks pretty good.
I'm glad the pills helped.
I wouldn't have called it. I mean, I know it was an awkward situation, but if I didn't have this big presentation at work.
I know. Brought you 2 like you asked, but I've got more.
All right.
Sweet.
No, I just needed these to get through my presentation.
Yeah, and then everything will be fine.
Have you seen them? Just a sec. I need them, and I can't find them.
Is this
what you're
looking
for? Yes. Pain's that bad, huh? No, I just like taking pills that completely knock me out.
What?
I'm just a little worried about you.
Well, thank you, but I am fine.
Who's yelling?
I wanted to apologize for this morning.
I'm just worried about you. You look exhausted. It's tiring being so bitchy.
What are you doing?
Oh, I'm just checking.
It's a really, really long. You want to keep watching?
It gets better. Skip ahead a little bit.
Some of the patient. Do you want me to?
This just gets really serious.
I just said I've done what the orthopedist said.
Yeah,
they recommended bed rest.
I'm under a lot of pressure at work right now.
Back it up like 20 seconds.
It can't wait. I took a couple uppers to stay awake. Okay.
Look, I know. I'm just saying. Even with the pressures at work, you got to go easy.
Did I ask for your advice? Listen, you mentioned before that you had some painkillers also, and my prescription just ran out, I thought.
Donna, look, I told you like 5 phone calls ago I am not a pharmacy.
Excuse me?
Ooh. I'm sorry, miss, we're closed.
She went to an actual pharmacy.
This is intense.
I need my prescription refilled.
I'll need Dr. Martin's signature.
He's away. I can't get his signature. He's away. Wait, that's it? You can't just leave. I need my prescription refilled now, please.
Miss, your prescription was to last you 2 weeks. You've gone through 60 pills in less than
1. Oh, yes, Donna.
I had an accident. I hurt my back.
My hands are tied. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm late for my
It's only 8.5 a day.
Wait, I'm in pain.
Hi, sweetheart. How you feeling?
Pretty bad, actually.
You back?
Yeah, I did what the neurologist said. I've done what the orthopedist said.
Honey, they recommended bed rest.
I'm under a lot of pressure at work right now.
Work's just going to have to wait.
It can't wait. I have like 8 million sketches that are due tomorrow. I have a boss that is depending on me, and I can't get any of it done because my back is in spasms, and I'm completely out of pain.
What happened to the pills that I prescribed for you last week?
I was taking them in the kitchen. I knocked the bottle over and I spilled them all down the drain.
Oh, shit.
How about if I give you enough pills to last you a few days?
Oh,
take just 4 mistake. Per day.
What a good dad.
Don, it's me. You there?
Is he doing that as a dad or a doctor?
She's on the floor. She's on the floor.
Whoa.
Oh, my God. Colin has to kick the door in. Whoa.
taking a while.
Is she dead?
No, we couldn't be that lucky.
Wow, she's got huge boobs.
She does a great job on the show.
Is it wrong to notice her boobs while she's dying?
No, no, not at all. Oh, okay. She's acting.
Drug overdose. I don't know. I think they're painkillers.
When we pumped your stomach, we got rid of any residual traces of the drugs, and we've been feeding you fluids to replenish your system and get you back to normal.
Oh. And when can she go home?
In a few hours.
Great.
Just realize it could take you 4 days to withdraw from the drugs.
Oh,
you'll probably
no.
be pretty sluggish, and you may have some nausea to leg cramps. I'll put you on an antidepressant to help with the withdrawal. And I'll set you up with outpatient drug counseling.
Wait, I made a mistake. I'm not an addict.
Yeah.
You could have died last night. Any precautions we can take to prevent that from happening
stupid
again,
therapy.
I suggest we take them.
I want you to come home for a few days.
Fine at the apartment. Kelly's there.
And she was there before.
I guess I learned something about myself through this. I'm good at keeping a secret.
I wish you would have come to me.
It was a mess.
Instead of keeping a secret.
Painkillers, they made me tired. And the uppers, they got me through work. And
yeah, it works.
Was on that side.
Go down, go up.
Where'd you get the uppers?
Noah's brother gave me some.
Oh, narc!
You stole them?
Sorry.
Sorry.
When I found out that you had
sorry, not sorry.
I was okay. so scared.
Sorry, not sorry.
It's the best part. But yeah, she goes down with the Viking, and then she's got some uppers to get her back up. So what's the problem?
Yeah, just like the king.
If she's too high, she takes the downers. If she's too low, she takes the uppers.
She looked like she was handling it.
Looks like it's a pretty good cycle to me.
Yeah,
she just
totally.
Took too many one night, and, you know, she's not a drug addict.
Classic mistake. Classic Donna.
Send somebody to school because they make one little mistake. God. Preachy
judgmental.
People.
Well, as Dylan found out, because they had to hold an intervention for him, too.
Let's go in the living room.
That's an ambush. You lied to me.
Dylan, my name is Ellen Marks. I'm an alcoholism counselor.
And it's Mackenzie
my
Phillips.
My parents must be so proud. Don't tell me. This is the part where I say, hi, I'm Dylan. I'm an alcoholic.
Exactly.
Your friends are worried about you.
Who asked you? Come on now. Why don't you sit down? Mind your own business, Brandon.
Hey.
Dylan. It took a lot of time and effort for everyone to come here today.
You know what? If I need help, I'll go to AA.
It took a lot of courage for everyone to do this. I think you at least owe it to them to listen, don't you?
I don't even know you, so where do you get off telling me who I owe what to? Hmm? This better be good. Better be entertaining. And I'm leaving.
Entertaining?
Can I get a drink?
Who'd like to start?
Look, Dylan, you might have given up on yourself, but I'm here for a very selfish reason.
Whoa.
You saved my life once. We were up on a mountain when we were camping that time, you remember?
Doesn't he remember?
Yeah, I remember, so what? So when I see you getting all boozed up and all geezed up on coke or whatever you're killing yourself with, I can't help thinking, what's going to happen next time if you're not there?
Yeah.
You fall off the mountain. I'm not in the savior business, Brandon.
Didn't mean that as a joke.
Yeah, well, I can't agree with you on that one, Dylan. Did you forget about the little incident that happened over at the beach apartment? I was wasted on meth. Cops were banging on the door. You saved me then.
What?
Look.
David was wasted
David
on meth?
David buried a friend in high school. Brandon just buried another one.
That school's got a drug
Dylan,
problem.
We don't want to bury you.
Doesn't mention that on Cameo.
So put your shovels away, because nobody's dying here, all right? I'm fine.
You're not fine.
I'm fine. People who get high and play with guns are not fine.
Yeah. And that's referring for the time he ruined Halloween for these kids that were trick-or-treating nearby.
Because he was wasted?
Yeah, he's passed out on the couch.
Oh, man.
Look, his girlfriend's the one that gave us the money anyway, and she hit the road. You guys take these and head off that way.
It's a carton of eggs.
Go around back, cowboy.
They were banging on the door, and he would not wake up from being passed out. So they start chucking eggs at the door. And that wakes him up! So here he's running to the front door.
Hey, get the hell out of here!
Oh, they're throwing eggs at the back door. Now he runs to the back door. But he grabs his gun on the way.
Yeah, fuck yeah!
Okay, get that
gun!
You're all gonna die!
Yeah, keep running!
He just pulled the gun
out. Shoot
him!
Just shoot up in the sky. Scare him. Hit their bag.
I mean, come on. He was just woken up after passing out on
heroin. He's cranky.
Uh-oh, now there's a skeleton sitting in a chair in his room. He's shooting up his own chair in his inside his house.
Wait, why did he shoot the chair up?
Because there was a skeleton sitting in it.
It was laughing at him.
Well, it didn't hurt anybody.
He's all kinds of messed up, Drew.
I'm not going to the hospital.
I go to meetings, I talk to people, but I handle it myself.
Shoot skeletons.
I'm not so sure of that.
You're not so sure? Is that what you want, all of you? Are you sure?
Yeah, that's why they're there.
I'm fix my problem? Because I can do that. I can go to rehab. I can do 2 weeks in rehab, stand on my head. What you got to be ready for is a result of your little experiment when I get out, because you know what I think you're going to see?
What?
I think you're going to see that you all need me to be sick.
Whoa.
Yeah, because that way, you look a lot better. See, your lives, they all look perfect and shiny, but only compared to my pathetic little existence, right?
Dude, you're on the peach,
but
after dark.
I'm sick of giving you the satisfaction.
Oh, Goo Goo Dolls are coming.
Yeah, I'll go.
What? Now he's going?
What?
That's the best reason for not going.
He's so deep.
Spoiler alert, he signs himself back out of rehab within a day.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Dylan.
Rest in peace.
Did anybody look up Goo Goo Dolls at the Peach Pit?
No.
You're really obsessed
Dylan!
With
Dylan!
I think that I just want to know. I want to make sure that I don't have that wrong. It's important. I think that was the biggest gig in the history of the Peach Pit.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Beverly Hills, you can't get other people to perform besides the Goo Dolls. Yeah, 90210.
Yeah.
Six finale featuring the Goo Dolls.
Well, who else played there? There had to be other big acts.
No, I'm looking that up right now.
Amberly Matisse started booking
I'm trying to remember who was booking the bands. It might have been Thesis.
Beverly Amethyst.
Well, don't forget that David did his radio show live from the Peach Pit after dark.
Wait, did he do it every night there?
I think so.
Wow, I wonder what they charge for that remote.
What radio station did he work?
I don't know. WBAG for Brian Austin Green.
I think he should be. I think he should do his cameos from the Peach Pit once.
He would hate that.
Peach Pit After Dark. Okay, let's see. 7 surprising and noteworthy artists. They broke a lot of ground in the Peach Pit. Christina Aguilera performed
That's
there.
That's huge.
Oh. She did Genie in a Bottle.
Wow.
Monica played there.
Oh.
Played Angel Mine. I don't have no idea who that is. Wild Orchid, Fergie's pre-Black Eyed Peas band.
Oh, wow.
Played Come As You Are, the Nirvana song. Oh, my God, is that cool? Karis Flowers, a.k.a. Maroon 5.
What?
Yes, played the Peach Pit.
Man, how did it ever go? Oh, it only went out of business because Brandon or Dylan owned it.
Power Man 5000.
Wow.
That was pretty heavy. Flaming Lips.
That's pretty impressive.
The Cramps played what? That's a punk band. That was like a CBGB band.
It's a place to be seen.
What? Oh, my God. I can't
Even
believe
if
it.
Steve Sanders did have a friend OD in the bathroom stall there. But just remember, he shot someone last year. It was not his best moment.
I cannot believe how hip the Peach Pit was.
It's kind of like a high school Viper room.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Wow.
It's so intense. Wait, here's some other bands that rock the Peach Pit. Color Me Bad. The Cardigans.
Oh.
Kenneth Babyface Edmonds.
Really?
Cramps again. I can't believe the Cramps played there.
Oh, David Silver bought Dylan's piece. That's why his radio show is live from there.
Okay.
But then David got evicted. He had to forge checks from Donna Martin to pay the rent. Oh, man.
Ray Pruitt.
This is a rabbit hole.
Wow. Pruitt played there. Pruitt played there. Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Maroon 5 one is crazy. He's like 11 years old.
Really?
Ryan Austin Green played there. David Silver played a gig there.
Is that, where's Levine? Is he singing?
Yeah.
That's Adam Levine?
A little kid?
Yeah, he looks so young.
It looks like they did the Sugar Ray route where you start with, like, as a rock band.
A real
then
band.
Then you turn into whatever sells.
All right.
Pop.
Wow. Well, Dylan McKay.
Bare Naked Ladies played there. Brian Setzer played there.
Whoa!
Brian McKnight, did you mention him?
No.
Power Man 5000 played?
Yeah,
seems a little. That seems a little too heavy for a...
I know, that was about as heavy as it got. I forgot who booked that, but they were chided for it.
The Blind Boys of Alabama played there?
Yeah!
Get out of here.
Peach Pit was a lot cooler than people give it credit for.
Can't believe it. It clearly failed due to mismanagement.
Well, Pumpkinhead is into him.
I still think she's hot.
Beverly Ann?
I thought she was very pretty.
Love Kelly Kapowski? Yeah. Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. Shut up.
All right, let me...
Austin Green.
Quickly mention in our DealsNadie.com studios that our sponsors, Zot Ford and DealsNadie.com, where you can find all the prices to anything, all the great deals on dealsnadee.com. They want to warm the cockles of your heart with their annual $99 payment party. Lease a new fun-to-drive 19 Ford Fusion Hybrid as low as $99 a month. Or lease a new sporty 19 Ford Escape, also as low as $99 a month. Finally, lease the new family-friendly performance SUV, a new 19 Ford Edge, as low as, of course, $99 a month. Maz would love to take $99 off you, waive his commission. I think that might include a commission waiving. I think his commission's automatically waived when they figure these prices out. Celebrate $99 payments and early spring with your friends at Zot Ford in Holly. And Luke Nowacki, of course, wants you to know if you don't have a financial plan, he would love to help you create one. Or maybe it's saving for college for the little one or ones. Or maybe you're working on life insurance. Or maybe Trudy helped you with health insurance. He's helped some other people with health insurance issues.
Or maybe your house is against you.
And yeah, if your house is turned on you, you might need a home equity loan. And yeah. I don't know, he might have all kinds of ideas for you.
That's great advice.
The bottom line is, you do need a plan at some point. It's never too late to create one and hopefully make things better. And that's why Luke Nowacki would be happy to consult with you complimentarily at 248-663-4748. Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC, Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated. So there. Okay. Hey, I got a check today from, I got this piece of mail, and I was nervous right away because it says...
What'd you win?
Well, it's got my name in it. It looks like a check.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that does look really serious.
2019. I'm thinking, wait, is this a refund already or something? I didn't even file my taxes.
It does. It looks like a tax check.
It looks really intense. Sure. And it's...
Where's my checkbook? There it is, because I always have it, because I always have my checkbook, because I'm always writing checks.
It says, warning, $2,000 fine, 5 years imprisonment, or both for any person interfering or obstructing with delivery of this letter, U.S. mail. I'm thinking, oh, my God, this has got to be important. And I open it up, and congratulations, you've been pre-approved for $38,671 line of credit. And
whoa.
It's got a check.
Oh, my God.
Cash it.
Can I cash this?
I just work at a bank, Mark, so.
Oh, well.
Nice reaching.
I mean, let me make one change to it. Cross out the part.
We have so much money, we don't know what to do with it.
All right, now you can.
What's it say?
What'd you do?
I crossed out the part that says, this is not a check.
Oh, yeah.
Oh man. I didn't even see that.
But I bet you could take that to a bank and they might cash
why
it.
Do they
I was
have
thinking
to...
of taking it to the bank and signing it and just seeing what happened.
Well, now you should.
Of it.
Now you
put
should.
The phone number for speaking Spanish on here. You should call that up. And...
Ah. Se habla español. Where does
yes.
it say this is
follow
not?
The money.
Oh, down the
I
bottom
it
right
out.
Says this is not a check?
Yeah, I crossed it out.
Not a grocery.
You
want to
call this number, Brandon?
So now it's a check.
So do you think you can get them to explain it to you in Spanish?
I just want to see what's up. I mean, they've sent me a check. I didn't look at that carefully. I could have easily taken it to the bank.
Tell them you did, and you cashed it, and now they want to take it out of your account.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's an idea.
Okay, they just want you to consolidate your credit cards?
They've probably had
They wrote me a check. As far as I'm concerned, they wrote me a check, and we don't even have arrangements to pay it back yet. I assume at some point I got to probably do something about it.
So it's a line of credit?
I don't know. I'm confused. It looks like a check to me. And what's with the big tease if it's not a check? Isn't that kind of bogue?
Yeah.
Do you guys get those?
I forget. It wasn't quite the
Hello.
Same thing, but yeah.
Thank you for calling. Your call may be monitored or recorded for quality Whatever. Assurance. Please stay on the line for the next available representative.
Sounds official. So
where's my checkbook? There it is, because I always have it, because I always have my checkbook, because I'm always writing checks.
He's crying. When's that come back on?
Hello?
By the way, how many people are calling this line? Are they so busy with other people calling the Se Habla Español number on there? How many of these do they send out? Of course, we could have called the non-Se Habla. Hello?
What?
Oh, thanks a lot.
What kind of operation are they running over?
Buttholes. Do you want to call the other number, Brandon?
Yeah.
The other number, is that the English number, maybe?
That really was the Spanish number?
No, I called the English.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I didn't know you wanted me to call the...
No, I didn't. I really... I don't care.
Call him back. Yeah,
call the Sable Espanol number. What the hell?
For some reason, I think we're going to get further.
Well, I figure there's less Spanish-speaking people calling, probably.
Yeah. For sure.
Well, maybe not, though, because it looks like a check, and it doesn't say in Spanish that it's not a check.
Hello. Thank you for calling. Your call may be monitored or recorded for quality assurance. Please stay on the line for the next available representative.
How do Spanish-speaking people know what that means? What does she just...
They just know not to hang up.
People really will...
Gracias por llamar a AmeriCorps. Actualmente estamos experimentando un gran volumen de llamadas y nos disculpamos por la inconveniencia. Uno de nuestros representantes lo asistirá momentáneamente.
Okay, go to hell.
Just a 1 moment, they'll be with you as fast as possible.
1 moment. I'll give them...
That's based on understanding 2 of those words, Trudy.
Whoa.
Hello. Hello.
Hello?
Hola.
Yeah, I was just calling. I got a check from you guys for $38,000, and I put it in my bank account. And now they're saying that the check doesn't count.
Okay, let me get you to the right department for that for the loans.
Wait, aren't you guys sent me the you sent me a check that says cash disbursements department?
I just have to let you know the calls will be recorded and monitored for underwriting purposes, but I will direct you to the correct department. Okay.
Allow what department is this? This is the number it says on the check.
No, that is correct. That I'm gonna. And this is regards a an offer that they sent you, right?
Yeah, they sent me a check for $38,671, and I took it to the bank.
Correct.
And I put
so
it in
I'm
my.
I'm going to transfer you to the underwriter department. They're the ones who handle the loans.
The loans? They sent me a check.
Correct.
I put it in the account. I put it in my bank account. Now they say it's no good. So why are you guys sending me these crummy checks? I'm wasting my time.
Well, the check is a it's an offer. It's not an actual check.
It says it's got my name and it's got my name on it. It's got an amount. It's even got it typed out, 38,671 and 00100s.
It separates.
Yeah,
but it also says pre-approval. It should say pre-approval. It should have an account number on there.
It says document has a colored background. It doesn't appear to have an account number, but it looks like a check. They cashed it, and then they said it's no good. So why did you guys cancel the check or something? What happened?
No, the check was a pre-approval for an offer to take a loan out.
Then
right?
why is it a check? It seems like a pre-approval is different from a check. This is a check.
Yeah, so the check has the pre-approval on there. If you were to look at it, it's got a pre-approval.
I just see something that looks like a check, and I took it to the bank because I could use the $38,000.
No, I understand it's in a form of a check, but it's a pre-approval where you can apply for the loan. You won't be able to deposit
this is this thing
out.
Says on the front. It's like I mean, it sounds really official. It says $2,000 fine, 5 years imprisonment, or both for any person interfering or obstructing with delivery of this letter because it's a big check in there. I understand why they're pointing that out. Well, you mean this way? You're not telling me that this is just some lame way of asking me to borrow money from you guys, are you? I thought I got a check.
Yeah, it's a pre-approval, so you can submit an application.
Well, don't send these fake checks anymore. Why don't you just tell me what it is?
So I can get you to the loan department. They'll be able to.
No, I thought it was a check. I want you guys to make the check good, but if it's not a check, forget it.
Okay.
Talk to the loan department.
I mean, you could apply for the loan if you'd like.
No, I thought you guys wrote me a check.
It's the interest rate.
I don't know what to do with all the money they're giving us. It's crazy.
I thought I had $38,000.
We have so much money, we don't know what to do with it.
What's the interest rate?
Yeah.
On the loan, what is the interest rate?
So give me a second.
Good
I'm
going
to get you to the right department, so they'll be able to explain to you on that check, and if you'd like to apply.
Oh, you just called it a check. It is a check.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Can you make
case
a check?
Closed.
Can you just make the check good?
They're going to start garnishing your wages.
What's your department?
Yeah, what department is this?
I won't tell you.
Well, you call the Spanish department, so there's an English one that would help you.
But you speak English.
Apply for that loan, and that's where I'm going to transfer you to.
You seem to be speaking English. Me? I don't know. It's crazy.
Taking calls is easy. Okay, I'll answer this one. I'll answer that one.
¿Usted habla español?
I do speak Spanish. This is directly for the Spanish line.
Wait, I just said something in Spanish. You're talking
three
English.
3 hours without a phone call. Try doing that sometime.
That'll happen. You guys are too confusing.
Allow me a moment.
Okay. See ya!
Is that a laugh in there at the end? He did not respond to drops. I respect him. Do you respect him? I respect him. He didn't answer the drops.
I thought they were playing Money for Nothing on hold for a second.
That is sneaky, though. Sending a check.
You know how many idiots probably try and cash that?
Underwriter department. Oh, my God. I know there's no. Ask me if there's numbers on the bottom. Yeah, there's numbers. Looks like it's from a real account. There's routing number. Jeez.
You play the guitar on the MTV.
Actually, I get all kinds of offers to buy my house lately, which is weird. Because
what? Why are people offering to buy a house
why
that's turned
down
against
why
its owner?
Down?
Oh, they just want the lot.
I guess.
They're making offers for the
lot. Your house sucks.
I know. I cannot believe how many calls I get. People, we want to pay you cash for your house in Phoenix.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Why does everybody want to buy my house so bad? And so, you know, I got so tired of people because I'd see the Phoenix area code and I go, someone wants to buy my house. I have no idea. Why does everyone want to buy my house? It's not that special. And so finally, I talked to this guy and he said, you want to make a cash offer? And I'm like, why? We're buying up homes. Your neighborhood's hot. We're buying up homes there. And I'm like, okay, what kind of amount will you pay for my house? Well, I'll have to huddle with some people and we'll make you an offer. And, you know, like this thing's moving really fast.
Yeah.
And so I said, okay. So he called me back with an offer that was like, I would say a $70,000 lowball. Probably about 75% of its value. On Zillow, anyway.
Wow.
If Zillow's even close.
Did you laugh in his face?
I sort of did. I wasn't.
You were out to humiliate him.
Get out of here.
What kind of a lowball offer is that? You call me like you want my house so bad, and then you make this lowball offer. See ya.
It hasn't been this hard to say goodbye to a house since Hugh Laurie died. But we must. So many memories.
Just rope off an area of your house and stay there.
I meant to mention when we mentioned the death of Ted Lindsay, the great Ted Lindsay. Joe Louis demolition is in 4 to 6 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy.
Slow down.
I'm worried about Matt.
Hey.
The Adamo Group is handling it.
Man.
Will he
yes,
ask
Rich,
to an interview with Rich Adamo?
Will he be in attendance during?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, Brandon.
It's not a blow-up thing. They're taking it down gradually.
He will be in there. Tom will make his way into the Joe Louis arena for some reason.
For a seat or two?
I don't know.
Haven't they taken that all out by now? The seats and all that stuff?
I think they have.
Yeah,
I've seen people show
they?
Their seats on Facebook. Like, look, I got my seat. I've seen that.
Yeah.
Why do people have to show their seat on Facebook?
How do we know it's really
that? I want to talk to somebody that did that and find out what they're thinking about.
Where's your Silverdome seat?
Whoa!
I'm pretty sure.
My Silverdome seat's right outside where you left it.
That poor guy that used to live here wants those seats so bad.
Just because he lived here, he does not have first dibs on my Silverdome seats.
Haunt him by leaving them outside all winter.
Well, just because he used to own this house doesn't mean he deserves something that's in my yard.
No, I know. They mean a lot to you.
But he acts like, hey, I used to live at the house. I see the seats are out there. Doesn't seem like you need them. Mind if I take them?
Wait a sec. Did that guy contact Maz and try to give him something to you for the seats?
No, there was no offer made, unless Maz is getting a quid pro quo.
Yeah, wait. Joe says yes.
Yeah. It was Chris Kill, and he delivered two things under the porch.
But it's not
a top of the Silver Dome frame.
Oh, that's right, a piece of the roof.
He had a number 20.
But who set that up?
He just did that on his own.
What?
Maz is involved.
What? Wait, how is this happening?
So quid pro quo.
There was
Drew,
no
you
offer.
Owe him those seats.
Who said a trade was to be made?
You probably owe him interest of another seat by now because you haven't given him
the chair.
What happened to the stuff under the porch?
We have it.
It's back. It's back in one of these silence.
Oh my God! Now I feel like I have to return it to him.
Just put it outside. Put it outside. He'll come pick it up.
It's water under the bridge.
This is appalling.
Memnubiria.
That doesn't sound like a fair deal either. I don't want a piece of the roof for my chair. I have seats.
But it's framed.
Oh, my God. I'm so deflated right now.
Don't get too deflated. It's. I don't know who did it, but it's not the best framing job either.
Oh.
And I'm going to grab it.
What was there besides the piece of the roof? What was that?
A ticket. I don't know to what event.
What?
Number 20 seat back, which I guess was rare to get for the Silverdome.
Oh, because of Barry Sanders? Yeah. Well, if it's rare, then why does he want my seat instead of his number 20 if it's so rare?
Get it?
Number 20.
I feel like I have to, I've got to deal with this. I didn't even know. This happened like a year ago,
oh, yeah, you've
ago,
really
right?
dealt with it.
It's Jim Brown. It's been hanging over me for a year, and I just found out.
I see this
old case file.
I see this
let
resolving
it.
Itself.
Oh, that's
look at,
the
look at that framing what? Job. I could have done that. Take a picture of that, Brandon. We'll put it on the site.
This was going in his
that's
garbage
a,
heap.
That's a, pe-
you
that's
see,
a
now,
piece of the roof?
This is taking up space in my house.
Look, the back of the frame is falling off, too. And you can't hang it up anywhere. There's no way to hang
who
it up.
Who agreed to this deal?
Maz.
And that?
Seat 20. Isn't there a seat 20 in every row?
Yeah, but they're saying people took them because of Barry's number.
But Barry didn't sit in seat 20. He wore number 20.
I know. I love that. I see that. I love that
what,
frame
is there,
job.
Is there a pizza to be named later or something with this deal? I want my seats. And I don't even want my seats. I feel like I've agreed to a deal.
Someone did on outrageous. Your behalf.
Do you think Maz is involved in this?
I for some reason, yeah. I mean, Joe, you're telling me he's not, but for some reason I thought he was. I don't know why.
Just contacted us on Facebook, and he had walked by. He saw the seats out there, and he didn't think they were being used.
Why
like
is he walking
said.
By?
So,
well, they are. Well, I look at them every day.
If they're being used, I could be using them all the time. He doesn't walk by the house 24 hours a day.
Drew uses them
out
and then
there every day.
Before he goes to bed, he sets them outside.
He was going to build something for somebody, so it was going towards a cause, I guess. He wasn't going to sell it. It was for, you know, somebody that used to work there or something.
Was he guilting me with a charity angle?
It'll take credit.
So it's convenient for him to have my seats, and he doesn't want that shit anymore. So
he can take credit for the donation.
What kind of a deal is this?
Oh, frame job.
I just
want him to just
part.
Work for me.
There's stuff inside the frame, like bugs and stuff. I mean,
it's not even fully attached.
It's just crazy.
It's Joe Louis dirt.
And it doesn't look like the Silver Dome roof. How do we know? Where's the authenticity?
It looks like... Oh, my God.
It's just a piece of shit.
Somebody's pool.
It is. It's a
pool liner. I can't believe this has been hanging over me all this time, and I had no idea. Oh, my God.
Hey, if they're knocking Joe Louis Arena down, instead of a wrecking ball, can they use the fist?
Oh, that'd be cool.
If they chain the fist to a crane
awesome
and then
idea.
They just
I
or at least
that
a
idea.
Punched it down.
A facsimile of the fist. That would be so much fun to watch.
That'd be Joe Louis destroying his own building.
That'd be great.
That'd be the demolition that would live in infamy. Will Rich Adamo be interested in the idea?
Oh,
I think
God,
so.
He should be.
I think so. Get the city
Maz
on the phone.
Maz can work it out.
Yeah, Maz can call the city.
He can work the seats in, too, somehow in the deal.
He loves making deals.
What is going on? Oh, my God. I'll be right back.
I just crack up. At
took
what,
him out.
He had to have known. I don't know. For some reason, I feel like Drew had to have known about that seat.
Well, yeah, but did he know about the offer, the quid pro quo?
I thought he did. I don't know. Maybe those are the kinds of things we protect him from, so he doesn't have to worry about stupid shit like that.
You backed me, and I back you. That's the way it works, right? That's the way it's supposed to work in life.
It's really funny. Maz does have an unhealthy relationship with the Joe Louis Arena.
Why? What's the...
He loves old buildings, and he gets really sad when they're torn down. He was very sad when LCA was opening because... He loves the Joe so much.
I love the Joe, but I just went to the LCA for the first time, and I love the LCA. I think it's a great arena.
Well, Tom's cool. point is all the memories there. And I said, well, they're not tearing down your memories. They'll still exist. Do you have to see the actual building to have the memories? It was a crappy arena.
What are they
going
to put in there if they don't? I mean, what happens to it if they don't tear it down?
Oh, that's a nice place.
And it goes useless land.
It's not like the architectural marvels that they have in other parts of the city,
no,
is it?
No, it was a stupid arena. There were a lot of great times there, but it was not the best arena.
It wasn't a stupid arena.
It was pretty dumb. There was no press box, Brandon.
There was no press box.
And there was no room on the concourse. It got better when they built that upstairs area with that giant bathroom.
Yeah.
But it was a little ridiculous.
Well,
I don't know. I was too late now. I was not a fan. But you know what? It's funny. It's one of those things, Trudy, right? If they didn't tear it down, it would probably cost the city like $8 million a day to maintain it for whatever reason.
Yeah, I mean, like a...
Like the old Tiger Stadium.
Right.
Remember they had to maintain that, and for some reason...
Yeah.
There was this incredible price tag on it.
Why does that take so much money? I mean, what were they...
I don't know.
The
structure... Cut off the water, cut off the power.
Right. The structure itself isn't going to go bad that quickly, is it?
Turn off the water.
Look at the Roman Colosseum. How long has it been there? And it's more or less...
I don't know what the cost was in keeping Tiger Stadium around for a long time. But it led to my favorite Martha Reeves moment of all time when she asked when the demolition was going to start, and it was already done.
That was...
My girl.
That city council...
She is all over it.
An abomination. Oh, my God.
Did she have to... She had bodyguards when she gambled, right? Wasn't that the story?
Yes.
Yeah.
She would sit and play slots and...
Using tons of money.
Do you remember what was the... Oh, she took... Didn't she take security to a Pistons game? Was that Martha or was that somebody else?
Quayne did.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But no, I think city council was entitled to security also. And I think
What's your clearance?
Someone, I believe, took like two cops to a Piston game. And it was like, first of all, who needs security at a Piston game?
Access denied.
And a Detroit City Council member? I'm pretty sure that was the case.
I would think it's something she would
have really
done.
Stupid. And you know, Auburn Hills is so scary. Yeah, there were some.
Oh my God, she has concerts coming up.
She does.
Yeah, at casinos.
She doesn't know when to walk away.
She's part of that Motown tribute, Grammy tribute.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
on
right.
CBS,
yeah.
Which
looks pretty good.
So the rest looks a little thin there.
Really?
So I don't think Stevie Wonder's part of it, is he? Or maybe he is.
By the way, Stevie Wonder was part of that.
He didn't see anything, Trudy.
I know. Yeah, he didn't see anything. I know. I thought he looked disgusted on stage. I'm like, no, he doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know these 12-year-olds are dancing around.
There's this little kid darting in and out, and Michael is sort of like laughing and chasing him, and Stevie's just standing there singing.
I couldn't stop laughing every time they showed one of the kids dancing.
I know.
To think that was considered entertaining.
I wanted to see more of these kids dancing, because these kids dancing like Jackson, one of them, that's what got him to Jackson, which is what allegedly got him molested.
Yeah.
Because Jackson saw how cute this little guy was.
But the dancer looks so dumb, and they're dressed just like him.
I know, just like him. And
there it is. Look at the TV. There he's dancing.
Oh, my God.
Skipping around.
I know. He was a pretty good little boogie down.
He was.
Yeah.
Eight-year-old or however old he was.
That was Save Chuck. Robeson was way better of a dancer, though.
Save Chuck, terrible interviewer, though, when he had that exclusive with Michael Jackson on the plane.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And he asked the question.
He didn't have a future as a...
Yeah. Do you like
hard hitting?
Do you like performing?
And of course, Jackson says he's his best friend forever.
Well, yeah.
I thought you never
left. Off.
What's
I had to turn it off last night. You know,
it was hard to watch.
But yeah, it was. But when the jewelry part came up, I watched through that and then I was done. But I was curious as to when did they find out about each other.
What
did
do you
they,
mean?
When they were little kids, find out about each other?
Not exactly.
Or did you just drop them?
Okay,
like
what
hot
happened was, okay, this is really
sad story.
I have to say this documentary is really powerful, and I was reading that people who were watching it were really affected by it, and you know, at first there was a lot of sort of sick jokes running around in my head, and then as it went along, it got hard to watch, and I've been putting off talking about it because I want to sort of put my feelings into words, but it's very difficult. I think what threw me was, and I don't know how I would have missed this. I mean, I know it was in my mind, but how powerful that would be if you were like this kid, very young, 6-7 years old. You love Michael Jackson. He's your hero. And all of a sudden, and you dance like Michael Jackson. He kicked ass. He was actually 5, wasn't he?
Say, I think they were both 7. Oh, you know, he was 5 when he started.
Yeah, when he started. And he did that incredible Thriller dance, which was And why'd the mom buy the VCR, VHS tape saying, oh, it's going to be a collector's item? It's like, they only sold like 9 million of them, lady. It's like a collector's item. Seriously, you shall have thought. There were a lot of those.
Stupid.
I'm so dumb. But anyway, so, you know, the kid is really good at it. It's really cute. And he reveres Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And so Jackson finds out when he comes to Brisbane that, oh, this kid went to Michael Jackson dance-alike. And next thing you know, he goes to the show and or he goes to meet him, and Jackson says, well, if I'd known, I'd put you in the show tomorrow night. And he's like, his mother says, well, we're coming tomorrow night.
Oh, boy.
So he goes, and he's in the show.
Yeah.
And what I guess I sort of missed, and I was always thought what was going on there was something frightening was taking place. Nobody wants 10-year-olds in their bed when you're 35, 40, right, however old he was. He was a man. He was not just like a 20-year-old man. He was a 30, 35, 40-year-old man.
And Jesus said to love the children and be like children, be youthful and be innocent and be pure. And
yeah, it's all part of the same bullshit.
He was talking to his apostles, and they were fighting over who's the greatest among themselves. And he said, whoever humbled yourself like this child is the greatest among me.
Oh, you took that the wrong way.
Like with children. And that's how I was raised, to believe and to be like that and to imitate that.
Wrong takeaway,
yeah,
Michael.
No, that's so twisted. No one acts like... I thought he used his whole freakiness, you know, to sort of suggest that, and I like being with children too all the time. It's part of the weird Michael Jackson. And I think his dumb fans want to just buy that. But no, you don't sleep with 10-year-olds in your bed over and over. And if you ever read the Jordy Chandler transcripts, he slept with him in his bed 30 consecutive nights. Mm-hmm. An 11-year-old kid. And Jordan Chandler, you know, they said, well, his idea of his penis was not perfect. Okay, Jordan Chandler said he had spots on his...
Like a gateway box.
He had vitiligo.
He had vitiligo. He had spots. Box. And he also said something else that was very specific, and I'm trying to remember what it was.
Trudy just appalled herself. What did you say?
No, you did. Bringing up the gateway box, sorry.
I didn't know. That's Clark. That's how Clark
I don't bleach my skin.
Anyway, he said he was circumcised, and they speculate that was what he got wrong. He's not circumcised. Yeah. And they said, I said he was circumcised. Uh-huh. And that's what, you know, the attorneys and the Jackson protectors do. They,
how old was he?
He's 11, I think.
How does he know?
Know the difference?
Well, what Jackson some people said hard. Was, well, he's probably hard.
Yeah.
When he saw his penis. Yeah. So, anyway.
He's very swollen.
But he did indeed sleep in the same bed with these kids. And, of course, the excuse is that, they want to sleep in my bed. I can't help it. They want to sleep in my bed. It's like, no, you don't. I got to tell you, when I was 10 or 11, which would have been when I was, you know, first knew the Beatles, John Lennon was like, you know, I want a John Lennon lookalike contest or something. He's like, I want you to come to my mansion in England. And then next thing you know, my parents are off somewhere else. Yeah. And it's like, hey, you want to sleep in my bed? And I'm sleeping with John. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even think about it. It's so ridiculous. Well,
but would Lennon have
But it would fuck up my mind because you revere this person and you're a little fucking kid, or if it'd been Ron Santo or the Cubs.
Especially if you rode around on a choo-choo train or a Ferris wheel.
And playing tag and water balloons and pillow fights. And, oh, it's so much fun. The kid thinks, oh, this adult loves pillow fights. Yeah. Jackson must have been so fucking sick of playing tag by the time he died. Oh, God, this sucks. I've been fucking pretending I like tag my whole life just to have these fucking kids around. So what a stupid fucking game. You mean tell me that guy wanted to play tag when he was 40?
No.
Are you kidding me?
No.
We have super soakers. We have stink bombs.
I think he liked chasing him and stuff like that. Turned on and tag
casual touching.
But Reagan and Princess Di, these little kids are watching all of those people just like blow Michael Jackson, figuratively, not...
Yeah.
Literally, and of course that leads into it.
Well, he's on the radio, he's on MTV, he's larger than life, he's this giant, giant figure in music, the biggest figure there is. And, you know, when I was a kid, honestly, my favorite musicians were my favorite people in the world. They were the and all of a sudden this one, not only, you know, wants you to sleep in his bed, but, you know, there were so many weird fucking things, like, I wanted him to stay for a year. He's like R. Kelly.
Yeah.
He suggests a career to these kids. Hey, yeah, you can learn to dance and you can be a professional, and then we'll make movies and you'll be bigger than Spielberg. Woo!
Now that's the only thing
he said, that you'll be bigger than Spielberg.
That's the only thing Robson's mom actually said no to.
Right, she said no because Jackson said, "I want to keep him for a year because we'll get his career going. And she's like, no. And then he said, what did he say? He said, I always get what I want. I would have just fucking ran from him when he said that. Are you fucking kidding me? You're telling me you always get what you want, and you're talking about having my kid for a year? So then he says, well, I need 4 or 5 days to prepare him to leave.
What is that? What is that?
I think we know what that is.
It's deprogramming.
It ends to, you know, nobody can know about our little fun. Yeah. And what is so fucking weird in that thing, maybe you can find a part for us, Brandon, that would match up a little bit with this. Yeah, there's many parts we could look at. But
I think this is where you're going.
When he starts having, you know, getting naked with this kid and playing with his dick, and he's playing with Jackson's, and that one coat that you mentioned. He says, yeah, I'm a 7-year-old mouth and a grown man's penis.
Oh, God.
I mean, it's like, oh, my God. But then the kid is told that we're brought together by God and you're my best friend. Yep. I don't have any friends. I'm so lonely. And
I was going to go back to, so after he has the 6 days of deprogramming, they go all the way back to Australia. The mom then leaves her family again with Wade Robson. And comes back to America, leaves his siblings behind, her husband behind.
And the husband, who's really depressed, just the oldest depressed, sibling. He would just commit suicide a few years later.
Comes back here, and Jackson's already moved on. And I really think Jackson gets off on the other kids seeing who the next kid is.
No, he's playing the field with children.
Yep, and
he's fucking playing the field.
Here's when Wade
and this
realizes
kid, but
it.
This kid is in love with him. He thinks they are in love. He thinks they're going to spend their lives together.
We saw each other after we moved was his Black or White music video, which I was going to dance in.
After they moved to LA from Australia.
That experience was really hard for me.
George Wentz in the video, he's complicit.
I
did think less
the first
of George
time.
Wentz immediately.
Brandon and I, we watched the first part. As we were posting yesterday, and anytime there was another celebrity, he's complicit.
Contributory negligence.
Harrison Ford. Something weird is going on with Harrison
Lucas.
Ford.
Yes.
Because he showed him how to use the bullwhip.
Yeah, Jackson's trying to impress a fucking kid who, you know, thinks he's in this loving relationship. The kid is even enjoying the sex. He more or less admitted that, didn't he?
We'll get to that part.
Yeah, he did.
That's Safe Chuck, right? Which, by the way, Safe Chuck, cool last name. Serious as you shall have thought.
And Jackson is, I mean, not only, you know, is he meeting these people for the first time, he's like, oh, why don't you come to my house? And you can stay in the guest house. We'll stay in the house. And then the mother said, you know, and it was clear that he was keeping him away. They were trying to stay away from me.
Oh, yeah.
And she thinks, oh, my kid's just having the time of his life.
Mm-hmm. I came up against the new friend, Macaulay Culkin. Macaulay was where I was, you know, in my previous trips. Right by Michael's side, every moment.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
And now I was kind of on the sideline as far as being Michael's friend, you know, and being his favorite. And that was really confusing. What did
Pause
I do wrong?
Could you imagine that?
What you know, we're kind of leaving out is that when he went home, Jackson starts calling him, and they're talking on the phone for 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah.
A 33-year-old man and a kid who's like 9. 5 or 6 hours? What the fuck? Are you kidding me? We'd heard this stuff before, but this fucking crazy.
Was it Wade or was it Jimmy whose sister would answer the phone and Jackson would get so bummed out?
Wade.
Yeah. So he'd call and his sister would answer and she's, I don't want to talk to you. Put Jimmy on the phone or put Wade on the phone.
But he would talk to the mother. He'd call her and groom her.
He groomed her perfectly. That's why she left.
Because they called me doo-doo head.
Yeah, the kids said that, why don't you read the faxes? Check out Daily Mail. There's a story about the faxes. Jackson would, they would get home and the whole room would be flooded with fax paper coming off the machine from Jackson.
Yep.
Their fucking kid.
Yeah. And they thought it was interesting or funny.
No, they were like,
the mom did.
They thought they were the anointed people. Yeah. Like, oh my God, Michael Jackson's chosen us. He has no friends. And he's finally got a friend. My son, he's saving him. Because Jackson sobbed when he left.
Yeah.
It's like, what the
fuck?
Don't
leave me.
And by the way,
leave me.
That is not the only person who said that Jackson cried.
Yeah.
You know, over something stupid with the kid, like the kid said, oh, my mom says I can't stay over anymore. He'd start bawling.
Yeah.
Yeah, manipulation.
You don't love me.
I miss my little apple head. I love you. Come back to me.
Ugh.
Ew.
Dear little one, you're the nicest boy on the planet Earth.
What?
You deserve the best in life.
Why is there no reverb?
Little one, yeah. I would do anything for you. Hello, doo-doo head.
Doo-doo head.
I just fucked up.
You are the best of the kid dancers. Keep on going towards perfection.
Yeah, the kid thinks he's got a career. It's like the R. Kelly girls. Yeah, you want to be a singer? You want to do some tracks? You can be on my track of mine. We'll make a video.
Dear little one, please send another fax.
Please. What terrible handwriting, by the way.
Yeah.
Tell little one to read my messages every night before sleeping.
And
say 30 times before you sleep, I will practice because practice makes perfect.
Practice what?
Dancing. His dancing.
Dancing, really?
Yeah, his dancing, yeah. The kid thinks he's going to be a, you know, they're going to do stuff together with this dancing.
And then here's one to Joy, the mom. Hey, Joy, I got your fax. I'm going to sleep now. I just wanted to say, if you need any financial assistance getting that kid back over here, don't hesitate to ask.
Yo, interesting. Need any financial assistance? It's all about the money. No, it's all about his money, him using his money, taking kids on shopping sprees. He gives them cash when he leaves the first time. He gives them an envelope full of cash
and the thriller jacket. That part was so weird.
You don't give a fucking seven-year-old thousands of dollars in cash.
$100, yeah.
At that minute, shouldn't the parents have gone?
Yeah.
Like he.
And you know, we could criticize the parents all day. They're so fucking crazy, and they're so starstruck by him, and they go to Neverland, and they think, oh my God, our life is magic now.
Except
we're in Neverland drinking champagne. And
the blame goes on Jackson.
No, exactly.
Period. He grew up.
His defenders all want to blame, oh, those parents, they want money. And Jordan Chandler's father is the one, you know, every time Jordan Chandler comes up, who he paid $23 million to? Gee, I wonder if he did anything. $23 million? Really? You think that was just nothing?
Yep.
That was just made up? Why did he pay him $23 million? Well, he's the one that identified his penis and the marks on his penis.
He knew he was cooked.
But they, of course, said, oh, he said he was circumcised. He's not circumcised. When they took all the pictures, his description was, in many ways, absolutely right. He got the hard part. He also, they found Jordan Chandler's fingerprints on pornography that Jackson had. And his fingerprints and Jackson's fingerprints were on the same pages.
Wasn't it crazy hearing, I think it was Safe Chuck, his reaction to seeing porn at that age and how like physically ill it made him? Like,
yeah,
he didn't understand it.
That was strange. Yeah, he said he was. And by
Trudy,
the way,
have you seen the whole thing?
Not the whole thing.
All right, here's, I thought maybe one of the more horrific parts. Can we play it?
Yeah.
The Paris situation?
Oh, yeah. Boy. Yeah.
In Paris, he introduced me to masturbation. And that's how it started.
Look how affected this dude is to act like he's making this up. His
hands were shaking when he was showing the
ring.
Jewelry.
Yeah.
Which
Michael
was very strange.
And I were in his room. He set it up like, I'm going to show you something that everybody does and you'll really enjoy it. So it's like he was teaching you something new. And I remember my penis swelling up because I did it so much that first time. I must have done it a few times. And so I remember dipping my penis in warm water. Michael filled the cup up with water so I could pee. It was hard to pee.
What the fuck are you doing, Jackson?
I don't have any unpleasant
water.
Yeah.
Memories.
It's already plump.
Other than not being able to pee.
Ugh.
It felt like you were bonding in a way.
Never thought it was
the
creepy.
Tour was the start of this sexual, like, couple relationship.
That's really overdoing it.
He was with Michael 24/7. I would go visit Jimmy, make sure he was okay, but Jimmy was always, you can go, Mom, you can go,
oh,
Mom.
Boy.
He didn't want me there. I missed him. I really missed my son not being with him.
Michael would like it if you would bend over and, like, spread open your cheeks. That's what he liked.
Oh, Jesus.
And then he would masturbate. And he liked
showing a picture of Jackson. And
if I rubbed his nipples.
What? That's come up before.
Just like every single kid says.
So we would do stuff, and then in the end when he wanted to ejaculate, he would finish himself.
By the way,
our room started to get...
Okay, go ahead, Drew.
The site of his conquest of this young boy is Paris, which he also named his daughter.
Very odd.
Which I feel is one of those deals, you know, when somebody gets their wife pregnant and names their kid, you know...
Brooklyn.
Like, yeah, Brooklyn, yeah. Or something like that.
Charlotte.
I just wondered if that was his weird-ass way of sort of getting off on it later in life. And was Brandon, you brought up blanket?
That's right.
Well, I mean, where did blanket come from, by the way?
Put a blanket in the closet. So, you know, I don't know.
If you notice...
It's true, though.
It's a reach. It's a total reach.
The people that want to believe that, oh, he just loves children. He just loves children. He didn't have a childhood. You know. Well, you know what? He lies about very big things. Very big things, if you think about it. First of all, this guy's going to go on to tell us about how he turned him against the parents. Yeah. But, you know, this is a guy that, remember, he married Lisa Marie Presley. They said it wouldn't last. Ooh. And he had three kids all of a sudden from Debbie Rowe, who he said
nobody
that he had.
Thought this would last.
He said he had sex with Debbie Rowe. Remember? Those were his kids. Yep. The third one came from who knows where. But those are not his kids. Who lies about their kid? Who lies about where children come from? They also said, and the maid said this. Actually, I think two maids have said this, that there was never an adult female that stayed over with him in his room. That never happened. Children, oh yeah, all the time. Lots of them. They named some. And they went on to say that a couple of them haven't accused him of anything wrong. And Corey Feldman says nothing happened. Although Corey Feldman also said that they watched pornography, or they looked at pornography together.
Yeah.
That was going back. And there are other people whose stories are a little inconsistent as well. And this is not uncommon with sexual assault victims or child molestation victims in particular. People don't exactly just tell you right away when it happens. They don't always tell you the truth. Sometimes it takes 40 years. Look at some of these cases involving priests where somebody says something.
Yeah.
And this guy is like 55 years old, says, yeah, he fucking molested me for 2 years. And, you know, and then 18 other people come forward. It's, and people act like, oh my God, he's a liar. He lied. He supported him. And that's not always how it works with this particular crime.
You have to wrestle with the idea that that happened to you. Not only did that happen to you, you kind of bought into it.
Yeah, no, the kid was in love with him. He thought they were in love.
And what were you thinking? And then you blame yourself and all of those things.
Did that too.
The demons that need to be wrestled.
And then the idea also of telling someone that Michael Jackson molested you when you were 8 years old. That's a pretty heavy thing. Yeah. It's not just the next door neighbor. It's not just a family member. It's not just a coach or someone. It's Michael fucking Jackson.
How do you do this to me?
I mean, his defenders would have you believe that all these kids just want money. Going after Michael Jackson is not a picnic.
No. And ask his housekeeper, who still owes him money.
$1.6 million or something, yeah.
And
having money also buys you attorneys. He spent $5 million on attorneys in the 2005 case. So these resources... The world is not out for a public lynching of Michael Jackson, which is another term that has been used. It's a public lynching. Yeah, the media and the police just want to bring Michael Jackson down. No one wants to bring Michael Jackson down. Everyone loved Michael Jackson.
You can still listen to his music and dance like him if that's what you want, but the guy's a pedophile.
Just going back to 2005 and 1993 when this was going on, he had incredible resources. And, you know, everything took place in the privacy of his room. I wasn't there. Well, I don't know what happened. I know he had kids.
Everywhere on Neverland. We're in a safe, Chuck.
Yeah, he had kids in his bed repeatedly. 33-year-old men don't do this. This is fucked up. If Michael Jackson was not Michael Jackson, if he was Daryl Jackson, would all these people be defending him? He just loved children. Daryl just loved children. You know, he had a bunch of 12-year-olds in his bed, 10-year-olds, and they just had slumber parties and they had pillow fights. He loves playing tag. I know he's 40, but he loves playing tag.
He's fat. He talks to him 5 hours a day on the phone.
Yeah, right.
What the fuck? That's Are you kidding me? I mean, yeah. And
if he didn't talk like this, what if he talked in a normal voice?
It's so fucking crazy. And these people being attacked in Oprah. Mute Oprah Winfrey. She interviewed the liars. Yeah. You know, his fucking nephew was on TMZ calling him, you know, he backstabbed Michael. He didn't get a job, and then he decided he was he wanted to be molested. That's what he said. He didn't get a job with MJ Productions, so he decided he was molested, or he wanted to be molested.
Who's he talking about? Robson? Because Robson did fine, Robson. Considering he was molested by Jackson, and he moved off of him to Macaulay. He created a pretty fine career for himself.
But he had a mental breakdown, two nervous breakdowns when he had his own children, which, by the way, is a trigger for a lot of people. Tom Arnold said the same thing. When his kid turned four, was approximately the age, he was molested, and he had a sort of a breakdown himself. But I just want to mention, you know, because anytime someone is inconsistent, they're a liar! They're trying to bring Michael Jackson down to steal money! LaToya Jackson, remember when she said that Michael has a problem with little boys, and he writes checks. He writes big checks to people, and my mother is so worried about it. And she said, oh, I just made that up.
Well there were
She did. She backtracked and said, you know, I don't know why I said that's crazy.
That was before he died and became a cash cow again, though.
You know, there were
because
two things.
They were afraid that he was going to run out of money for them, and then he died, and
it was
fine.
Always about the money for the rest
of the Jacksons. And by the way, the brothers who were here, last year in Detroit and wanted it to be Michael or not— They were naming the street Michael Jackson Way, and they're like, well, can't it be Jackson 5? And they were all pissed off.
They told them to fuck off.
Yeah, these brothers, who, by the way, they didn't spend a lot of time with Michael Jackson. No. They would have you believe that they know what he's doing all the time. He's my brother. I know what he's doing. He wasn't around them for decades. He wanted nothing to do with them. He is a cash cow to them.
Before the show, we were talking about—
they have a vested interest in this. They're the only ones that really have a vested interest, because these kids— these two guys are not making money on leaving Neverland.
You pointed out before the show, and I thought this was dead on, and I haven't heard anybody else say this. It's really intriguing how Jackson always finished himself off, because presumably he didn't want DNA anywhere.
Oh.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I just thought
it didn't make any sense otherwise.
He never had anal sex with them, according to them.
Never ejaculated on them, or
and he never
them
came,
finish him
never
off.
Came in their mouths.
He tried with Safe Chuck. He inserted a finger and—
yeah, and
Jimmy
he
said no.
But not his penis.
There's no semen.
Yeah, which I thought was very interesting.
There's a fingerprint.
It's all that.
I don't know how they dust for
that.
Trudy's
very ashamed of herself for that great joke. It was a great joke. Sorry. Not sorry. And the other thing is this idea that, you know, Safechuck's talking about he had sex in this attic. It was a really small stairwell to get up. You could hear people coming.
Right.
There's a bed in there. We're in the game room. There's a loft there. There was a bed in
there's
there.
There's a bed everywhere
there's
in the
a bed
house.
On the top of the castle.
Why is there a bed in the castle? Why is there
a bed in the train
room?
Station? There's a bed in every weird fucking place on Neverland.
The movie theater has private rooms too, and his mother's locked out of the movie theater for some reason.
Yeah.
And when she got in, he was in a bed.
Why are there so many beds in Neverland? I think we know.
Not to mention, we know, and, you know, this is not fiction. Some of these things have been pointed out by multiple different people. He had a virtual alarm system for his room, so he knew when anyone was getting near his bedroom for some reason. He really needed to know that, even
though
there were people working for him.
That was after he had Jimmy and him practice how quick they could get dressed. They would pretend someone was at the door and see how fast they could get dressed.
Fun.
It's
so weird.
Disgusted.
I can't.
Time.
You know, I can't
the
say.
Routine was.
Yeah, this is the part about all the alarms.
We would
I don't know if you,
get a blanket and lay it down on the floor and inside of the closet,
blanket.
Next to his main bed, so we could close the doors and have like several sort of doors people had to get through. It was just a hall that leads to his
15
room.
15 locks on that.
So there
door.
Were bells, so you could have a moment of hearing them trip, and at least it alarmed him to when people are coming. There was
a complete
like
wreck.
Kissing and I think just kind of rubbing on each other. And then oral sex. And then he would want me to suck on his nipples, and then he would finish himself.
Oh, God. Oh yeah, beds and the teepees.
He
I
also
forgot
had
about
a,
that.
Like an Indian fort with teepees. And so we would lay down sleeping bags, have snacks, and then
have sexual relations there. There was also a game room, and then upstairs in the arcade, there was another room.
Of course.
What'd you do then?
And I had a bed in there.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah. You always want a bed in the game room.
You don't have a bed in your game room? You're weird.
I want to take a nap between games.
There's this attic. There's a third floor attic. It was kind of secluded.
There's like eight more rooms.
You could only really get to it from
the little teepees, the Indian teepees with the horses and stuff like that. It was really cute. And I'm thinking, looking at this cute little scene with just this horror because
there's a bed in there.
Things to do.
You don't have a bed in your attic, Trudy?
So they just kind of mix in my teepee.
You're weird. If you're going to have a teepee, you got to put a bed in there. What's the point?
He had another house far away from the main house.
Oh, really?
Convenient. And then there he had a lot of memorabilia in his jackets from, like, the Grammys.
Boring.
The rhinestone ones. And his glove. And it was far away from people.
Oh,
and you could
what a
see
shock.
Somebody was driving up his narrow road.
Yeah, right.
Mm. And we would have sex in there, too.
Okay, great. Is that all the places?
Had these two, like, private rooms. I have big glass
Trudy,
windows
do you have a bedroom
so you can
or a
see
bed in your
theater.
Movie theater?
My movie theater?
And so we would have sex in those rooms.
Don't, you're the weirdo.
It's a bad movie, you might want to crash.
That was a bit dangerous. So there's a bit of excitement there.
So I didn't tell him I was coming.
Uh-oh.
And the door was locked. And so I you have to knock loud because the, you know,
my room
movie's
is
on.
A complete wreck.
And he made some excuse. He came down, unlocked it, and did make some excuse. He didn't mean to lock the door. He didn't know the door was locked. Mm-hmm. That's what he told me. He was in there with Jimmy. They were in the bed. They were clothed.
Because Jimmy knew the drill.
Still.
Yeah.
Didn't think anything.
No. I know the look on her face.
I feel bad for her, too, even though she's kind of dopey.
I thought she was such a moron.
Hey, wait, what about this?
Bedroom.
Oh,
wow, it looks like pedophile paradise.
Coming.
What is he, the king of all pedophiles?
Just a small bed.
Oh, sure, did you have a small bed in your castle?
Up there we would have sex.
You don't? You're a weirdo.
I have a bed in my castle.
The pool and the jacuzzi.
Oh, okay. Pool and jacuzzi.
Oh, this is really cute.
Pool sex.
Oh, great.
Like holding your breath and then going down.
I'll make it a game.
Kind of like a game.
It was fun.
Oh, you can hold your
at the train station. There's a room upstairs.
Train station.
Oh. Is there a bed?
And we would have sex up there, too.
Oh, okay, great.
What happened every day?
Great.
Oh, my God.
Why don't you just tell us where there wasn't a bed
it
and you didn't have
sick,
sex?
But it's kind of like...
Save us all a lot of time.
Dating somebody, right? You do a lot of it.
He's in love with him.
So it was very much like that.
Oh. I know, I feel bad.
It's so fucked
not
up. It's just so awful.
You this is
just
creepy.
Have to realize how large a figure this is, though. He's revered this guy. He grooms him when he's 7, 8 years old, and this kid wants nothing more than to have this career dancing with Michael Jackson. And
I get it. I mean, I don't,
and this
I'm
dream
so
life at
kids.
Neverland. He lives in his father has a fruit shop or something. They're very, I don't know, middle class, I guess.
His father.
And all of a sudden, he's in this incredible world. His parents are, oh my God, this is great. We're drinking champagne. We got all these animals to play with.
Going to Hawaii.
Yeah, go to Hawaii
Paris.
For a week.
Grand Canyon.
This is the first time I ever saw snow.
That was that was Robeson's grandma.
Yeah, the first time Robeson is playing with Jackson, they're going to they have a recreational vehicle to go to the Grand Canyon, and Jackson's like, oh, why don't you just stay here with me? And he's like, oh, I want to stay with Michael. I want to go to fucking Grand Canyon. So they go to the Grand Canyon, and Grandma is talking about, yeah, I went to the Grand Canyon, it was great. And she's like fondly remembering this trip. It's like, what the fuck is
she,
Grandma?
She was jazzed at the whole idea.
There's Grandma, look at Grandma.
Grandma.
I don't think they told her.
Maybe they did. I'm going to assume they didn't.
Had to pull up at the gate, and the guards came and wanted to make sure you didn't have any cameras or anything
music.
Like that. It was a little bit intimidating. I hadn't met any celebrities ever. And I was quite lost. But I had my husband there, so yes.
Yeah. Well, your kid didn't have any fucking, your grandkid didn't
it's
have anybody.
It's like a fairyland. It's all fairy lights and there's
beautiful
lakes that are all lit
kid.
Up and the house is all lit up. It was just
it's a pedophile's
amazing.
Paradise.
As soon as you pulled in, there's music going.
Sister.
There's flowers everywhere. It felt like you were driving into this little heaven, you know?
Why don't you guys go to the Grand Canyon?
The car pulls up. And there's everybody that works. at the ranch kind of lined up ready to greet you. I've never been in that type of world before.
You're a family that just met Jackson and has a seven-year-old he thinks is cute.
It was magical.
Just like any family that just meets a star.
Out,
they invite him to their house.
Sure.
Wow. Yeah, it's just out of a storybook, right? Out of a fairy tale.
Nightmare.
It's still a fairy tale to him. He's kind of getting off.
Michael showed us all around the house. And at that time, he only had the theater. He didn't have all the other things. It's like a child's dream
all those
come true.
Pedophile touches yet.
Candy store there that you just help yourself pedophile to. Amenities. Ice cream.
Yes.
And
amenities.
All the chocolates in the world. And
is that you that called him the king of pedophiles?
Yeah, king of all pedophiles. It's like child proofing your house, but it's reverse. You're pedophiling your house.
You got to put a bed in every room.
Did he really come up with all those concepts himself, or did he have like some pedophile architect?
It sure seemed like
him.
He wanted to make it child friendly, doesn't it, for a guy with no kids at that time?
Yeah, but did he have like a pedophile decorator or?
Probably.
I don't know. I think
Gary Glitter.
I think it kind of all came out of his own mind somehow.
Gary Glitter.
I don't know. I can't think of many famous pedophiles.
Is there anyone right now, currently in today's pop culture, that is as big as Michael Jackson was then? I don't think there really is.
No. There's no one.
I don't think it'll happen ever again.
You know, the only person I could think of that could convince people, I mean, that could have 10-year-olds stay in their bed over and over and over, be accused of molestation, continue to hang out with 10-year-olds and sleep with them and, you know, get charged and all that and get out and say, is Elvis. Elvis was that big.
Yeah.
He was. It was like, he'd be like, you know, I just love kids and play tag and have pillow fights.
Just have a seat in the waiting room. I'll be with you in a minute.
Throw around the water balloons at people. And,
the vision of Elvis playing tag with a bunch of kids. He'd be so slow.
Man,
in his jumpsuit.
Although he did karate.
Yeah.
I don't want to be disturbed unless it's an emergency.
I'm angry at God for making me a pedophile. I'm so damn tired of playing fucking tag. I don't enjoy water balloons anymore. I got over that when I was 12. Jesus. Fucking kids. All they want to do.
He did have Graceland, so.
Well, it's very similar.
There are people who could pull this off, but not many. I mean, Jackson, there's still, I mean, you're watching this. Does this seem like someone making up a story to make money?
No.
The people.
But Robeson's got kind of a sketchy past, I guess. I don't know. But additionally, he has opened up some fund just recently within the last couple of days. And so people are saying this is just a cash grab.
Well, wait a minute. Well, but his sketchy past was from before he was molested?
Because
he was molested.
No, he's very connected to Michael Jackson through his adult years. He testified, okay, when the kid that Jackson has his paws all over in the, what's the guy, the reporter that did the...
Oh, Martin Bashir.
Martin Bashir did that thing.
Gavin.
And the whole world went, oh my God!
Yeah.
Because he's got his arm around these kids. His kid's resting his head on his shoulder.
They're holding hands.
Yeah, they're holding hands. They're all over each other. And that's when Jackson said...
The most loving thing to do is to share your bed with someone.
Right.
Yeah, and the kid's saying, oh yeah, I sleep in his room, and Michael gave me the bed. And, you know, it's the most normal thing in the world. And that kid, 3 years later, says, he molested me.
Yeah.
And he takes him to trial, and that was when he got Tom Mesero, who almost never loses. I mean, this guy's gotten people off. He's an outrageous.
Except for Cosby.
He spent $5 million on his defense. They did everything. They attacked the victims. You know, he's a liar.
Yeah.
I forgot what they said about his. They dug up a lot of shit on, as they always do. It's, you know,
ignorant
that's what
you
do to the victims if you want to win. And it apparently worked because Jackson got off. But that's when he danced on the car the first day. That's exactly when
pajamas.
You're accused of pedophilia, you always dance on a car after the first day in court.
Well, you don't
you can't believe your good luck.
Trudy, you don't dance on top of your car? You're the weirdo then.
At your pedophile trial, didn't you dance on your car the first day?
You ever been to court? Don't you wear pajamas?
Yeah.
It's totally normal. Here's grandma again.
But that kid, but Wade Robeson testified that Jackson never molested him in that trial. Yeah. And so that was, oh, well, he didn't molest that kid, so he didn't molest any kids.
Ludicrous.
So he didn't molest one kid, so therefore he didn't molest another kid. They're separate events.
Ludicrous.
And Macaulay Culkin, by the way, I don't know if he molested, I don't know if he molested anyone. I wasn't there, but I'm just saying, because Macaulay Culkin says he didn't molest him, doesn't mean he didn't molest another kid. Yep. That those are independent events.
Yep.
Well, he hung out with Macaulay Culkin. That's because he loves children. So he always acts like he is around Macaulay Culkin. Well, Macaulay Culkin has resources.
I was just going to say,
also a very famous person.
He was scared of not scared, but he couldn't get away with his.
I bet he sat in his lap.
Yeah.
And what about?
Well, they sure didn't they go? They got up very early and go on a hot air balloon.
On a hot air balloon.
Here in Culkin.
They have all the footage. Well,
who did he?
It's really charming.
Who did he take to the? Was it the Emmys or the Oscars or?
Oh, Emmanuel Lewis.
Emmanuel Lewis.
Yeah.
He totally.
Where's
he carried him around? That was when he was Brooke Shields' boyfriend with the quotations.
Right.
And Brooke Shields said it was the most embarrassing that people were making fun of her because he was carrying
Emmanuel Lewis
around all night, and she thought she was going on a date with him.
Is he dead now? Is Manny dead, Emmanuel Lewis?
I think he is.
Yeah. But he never... Find the woman who says he banged her.
I can't believe I just killed Emmanuel Lewis.
Oh, you did? He's alive?
Sorry.
Wow.
Sorry, Manny.
He did not impregnate Debbie Rowe. Did not happen. Those are not his kids. Those kids are white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All I know is Grandma had
a blanket. We don't know where blanket came from.
Grandma had a great day.
And so... He said that we could stay in his room in that guest unit if we wanted to. And, of course, we were like, please.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He had a guest room above his bedroom that, of course, had a bed in it.
We went to his bedroom and sat on his bed and Grandma. Talked to him. And he had a train running around the bed, electric train running around the bedroom. And he was just like a child.
Well, too bad she's not a 10-year-old boy.
You don't have a train running around your bedroom?
No.
You're a weirdo. Everybody does. Stop being so weird.
But see, they had just...
Grandma really gets off on it. Jeez, Grandma, you need to get out.
They had just met Jackson 4 hours prior, and they were already sleeping, the night, spending the night.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's what... Yeah. Yeah, Billy Joel does it with families all the time. He meets them, and they've got a cute 10-year-old, so he invites them over, and he spends all the time with the 10-year-old, and the family stays in the guest quarters.
It's so ludicrous. Oh, here's Grandma again. I think this is the infamous...
the Grand Canyon trip she loved so much, she can't stop talking about it, even though her fucking grandkid's getting molested.
Well, yeah, but the rest of the family went and had a great time.
I know. Grandma's
not focusing on the negative,
no
Drew.
Context.
She doesn't know. Nobody tell Grandma.
Grandma's a compartmentalizer, clearly.
They were really far
away. I'm sorry, what's that?
Can you pause for a second?
Yeah.
So what happens in this clip here is the family who just met Jackson... they all decided to leave and go on their vacation, but leave Wade Robson behind.
They asked Wade if he could go anywhere in the world, Wade, where would you want to go? And he's like, I want to stay here in Neverland. This place is a blast.
Yeah. The fucking Grand Canyon. Who gives a shit about a hole in the ground?
Yeah.
So the entire family picks up, leaves. They go on their trip, and this is an era of no cell phones. This is an era of no internet. They have no way of even getting in touch with their kid. Just leave their 7-year-old with Michael Jackson for a week.
Perfect.
In many ways.
But why would you want a fucking 7-year-old around for 5 days?
Oh, God,
it
sounds
awful. You got to take care of a 7-year-old.
Not
no
just a 7-year-old.
No one likes children that much. No one!
A 7-year-old.
He's a superstar. He can do whatever the fuck he wants.
Not only are you not related to this 7-year-old, you just met him.
Yeah, you
get
just
out
fucking
of my
met
house.
Him.
I have man stuff to do.
And he wants to dance like you all the time.
We went
How annoying.
Through the canyon. First time I'd ever seen snow.
Oh,
that was
awesome.
Exciting too. And
well, life
we
gives
thought
you lemons.
That Michael was teaching him all these dances. And that's we thought how lucky he was to have
Grandma,
somebody to take their time.
She doesn't know.
In
she
his
doesn't
position.
Know. She can't know.
To have somebody like that to teach
Grandma's
him.
Grandma's sitting around
what to
going,
do.
What's on TV tonight?
Oh, yeah. No, Grandma, no. Don't turn
on. Regretted it. As we were traveling.
We're renting a movie, Grandma.
They cancel their internet so she can't look up stories. They cancel their newspaper.
And the one time the mom does try to call, like the landline, no one picks up the fucking phone.
Of course not.
Right.
Because he sent all the help
she
away.
She loses it.
Is this when he first got with Robeson?
Yeah.
When they were gone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Open mouth.
Yeah, he went really fast,
tongue
too.
In mouth. Ugh. Kissing.
7 years old.
He would put my fingers on his nipples.
and like tell me to squeeze
them. Sounds familiar.
And he would moan and react to that like it felt good. And I liked the feeling that was making him happy.
No, it was creepy.
It was pleasing him.
Oh, my nipples, they hurt.
He's in love with them. He's in love with them. It's the weirdest fucking... The Man Boy Love Association is running tape on this.
And my underwear down.
See, it's not so bad.
He's cheating on Save Chuck with Robson. Robson.
And going down and starting to, you know, perform oral sex on me.
Well, Grandma's going, hey, look, snow, oh my God.
I can't believe that hole's so big.
And I remember him putting my hands on his head when he was down there.
And what did it feel like?
I'll never forget the...
He makes it sound like he, me too, Jackson.
The feeling of his hair.
What did it feel like?
That was rough, almost like a Brillo pad, like this roughness.
Last night, that quote right there.
And he's down there. And
Twitter said, that's all the proof we need that he's lying because Michael Jackson got burned during the Pepsi commercial and his hair had some balloon thing on it and he didn't describe it, so Wade is lying.
He got burned in 1983.
Wade's lying.
Totally false.
Yeah, well, the bodyguard who said, I don't even know Wade Robson. I met everyone who met Michael Jackson, so there's no Wade Robson ever in the house.
On my, you know, 7-year-old penis. You know, quickly it turned into having me perform oral sex on him, too. I mean, to be honest and to be graphic about it, like, you know, a full adult grown man size penis in my mouth, you know, in a little 7-year-old's mouth.
For fuck's sake.
And there he is in that smooth criminal outfit Jackson gave.
He didn't ejaculate when he had me perform oral sex on him, but he used to, DNA. He would masturbate in front of me. He would have me kind of go to, like, the corner of the bed, like a far corner of the bed. So he'd be laying back on a pillow and have me go to the far corner of the bed and be on all fours and have me sort of just bend over my knees, you know, so he could look at my anus while he was masturbating. And I was just kind of on display. And then periodically through that, he would kind of come up and stick his tongue in my anus.
No more.
Right in front of me, there was this big, kind of elaborate Peter Pan cardboard cutout.
You don't have one in your room?
So it's like I was either looking back at him, masturbating, or looking forward at Peter Pan.
Good God.
Ugh.
Ruined childhood.
I gotta say, imagine if that was Daryl Jackson again, and that was a consenting adult with him. That's still weird. It's just all weird.
That's still the stuff of nightmares, yeah.
Yeah, it's fucked up, man.
But, you know, when he does go home, then he's talking to him on the phone for 5 or 6 hours a day, and he's sending these faxes constantly, nonstop, faxes. And he said he would be in school, and he couldn't concentrate because he knew when he got home, Jackson was calling. Michael, it's Michael Jackson. Yeah. The guy on MTV.
Star. Yeah.
I know, it's so...
Hey, what's tonight going to bring him burn to?
Oh, I know. I'm sure it's...
I'll be watching.
Yeah, I'll watch. Yeah, it's funny. Everyone was... I think people had trouble not watching that. Because honestly, it was like, oh, this is really... It's like, hey, the Michael Jackson special's on. It's kind of like the Ted Bundy month.
Yeah.
It's Michael Jackson month. But... Yeah. I mean, it's so horrible.
Well, on the one hand, then, you get to see what the machinery of a pedophile
and how they operate.
Like, yeah.
What but they do to make people feel special and how they manipulate those around them and they pick up people who are vulnerable.
For all the assholes that are digging in you know, that support him.
There's tons of them.
There's got to be some that are like, oh boy, gross.
I don't think many of them watched it.
No,
because honestly, they're
your
so.
Opinion doesn't count if you didn't watch it.
Yeah, but they know the story. They've read the FBI files, and the FBI studied. And
well, they have a Reddit thread, which was like, "Don't watch tonight's. You don't have to watch tonight's. You don't have to confront people. You don't have to do any of this. Maybe just shut off media so that you can keep yourself from having to see it. It's lies, all that." They were all in this big circle jerk.
It's amazing that cult lives on. 10 years after he died,
you cannot believe what this fucking Taj said today on TMZ. Our family trusted Wade. He didn't get a job, and he decided he wanted to be abused. Like, he just decided, he just made it up. He just decided he wanted to be abused. And then they asked him, and they did a horseshit job with him, by the way, because I would have said, look, you keep saying none of the things this guy says are ever challenged. They said, well, you know, Oprah's going to talk to the victims afterwards. And he said, Oprah's never been on our team. On your team. What are you talking about?
Team Jackson?
I guess. I don't even just implied that she's a whore. She's awful, too. She's as bad as Wade Robeson.
Maybe, because Oprah actually has a shred of some journalistic integrity. And
I mean, honestly,
isn't sucked in easily.
In terms of credibility, would you go with Oprah or the stupid Jacksons? Those dopes. Joe Jackson, all the Jackson brothers who've been trying to make money off Michael for 1 million years. I mean, as soon as he died, they were out touring. They don't want to attend Michael Jackson Way ceremony. It should be called the Jackson Five.
Right.
I mean, they're not those guys. You know, one of them beat up his wife. They're not. What makes them so credible? He didn't hang out with his brothers either.
Well, not only
he's too
that,
busy hanging out with these kids.
They don't know what went on. They weren't in.
No, they weren't.
The house.
And I wasn't either. And honestly, I guess there's a 1 in a 1,000,000 chance that you want a 7-year-old or a 10-year-old in your room all the fucking time because they're so much fun and you like playing tag when you're 40. But I really have a hard time believing that. In fact, there's so many things you have to believe Michael Jackson that are ridiculous. You know, for example, that Jordy Chandler's idea of his penis is just lucky.
Sure.
The markings on the underside of his penis, that's just luck. He just threw something out there and it clicked.
Jordy accidentally tripped and fell on some porn and got his fingerprints
on it.
Fingerprints
on it.
Oops.
That Michael paid him $23 million even though he did nothing wrong. That he spent the night innocently in bed with 7 to 12-year-olds repeatedly because they wanted to. That's what he says. They wanted to. What was it going to do? And that after being accused of molestation, he continues to sleep with little boys because there's nothing more than you do. I show you love.
He doubled
show
down.
Your bed. Yeah, he doubled down. Who would do that? If
An
you imagine,
innocent man, because there's nothing wrong with it.
Imagine you're innocent, I'm innocent. Can you imagine if one of us were accused of molesting a 12-year-old? Would you ever have a fucking 12-year-old that wasn't your child in your house again?
Yeah,
never.
Yeah.
No one would.
No, I would, because it's totally innocent. It's the most loving thing you can do.
It's to share your bed. That's true. You'd have to believe that he spent hours on the phone with children, 9, 10-year-olds, because they were his best friends. That's what he said.
He loves He loves children so much, he would only talk to one for 5 hours as opposed to five for 1 hour.
You'd have to believe that the consistencies in all these kids' stories, Jesus juice, nipple play, turning them against their parents, helping them with their careers, are just one big fat coincidence. Also, I guess since you believe Michael Jackson, you believe his three children are his children?
Probably.
Who lies about their children? I mean, that's
they
fucking
say
crazy.
They're his children.
I know they say that.
They're a little
they
biased.
They say that, but...
Also, I believe his position is that he's heterosexual. Wasn't that his position generally through that?
Yes.
Look at how many times he's been married to women.
But he told all of
he was only married to Lisa Marie.
I'm not
but
gay.
But he's banging her.
Well, he's banging
Debbie
Rowe.
Rowe.
Allegedly.
Banged at Brooke
no
Shields.
No one would bang Debbie Rowe if they had a choice.
Arnie Klein did. Oh, no, he just inseminated her.
Ew.
And then, again, that after multiple accusations, huge settlements, I know there's a second settlement for $2.4 million, that he just continued to be best friends with 9 and 10-year-olds because he just loves children so much, he even if people are going to accuse him of molestation, it's worth it. You have to believe that all the children he became best friends with are a certain age, coincidentally, because he loves children.
Always boys.
He does, for some reason, he doesn't love girls, or he just happened to fall. I mean, his friends are all boys for some reason. Even though he loves all children, he seems to always select boys. That's just a freak thing. that these relationships just coincidentally end when the boys are 13 or 14.
Yeah.
That's, I guess you have to believe that.
Replaced with a very similar looking boy.
Yeah, by a similar younger boy.
He does have a type.
He does.
Yeah. You'd have to believe the accusers all are just making up these crazy stories. I mean, that's a really intense story that guy is telling, and it's a long story.
They made it up.
Not only that, but all the people that worked for him that have spoken out against it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of them. Of course, they always point to the ones that say, I didn't see anything.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to believe that the accusers are trying to extort money by going on and on and on about their molestation, having nervous breakdowns to boot. I guess that's part of lying for money. That the media and police were also trying to publicly lynch him, as they said, for loving children, that he was the victim, that the media and police go after giant stars that the entire world reveres because they just like bringing them down.
For no reason.
You also have to believe that he loves pillow fights, playing tag, throwing water balloons, playing hide and seek, and children's games until he was 50. That he's just one of those guys that just loved those games and just, you know, probably... He loved choo-choo trains.
Hot air balloons.
Oh, hot air. Well, hot air balloons. Adults can love hot air balloons, I guess. But I mean,
stupid.
You know, it's weird. He's the most. He's a brilliant artist. He's got, you know, he's one of the biggest stars in the world. Somehow, one of the most successful artists ever. But he loves playing tag. He just loves it.
Could you imagine if to get a chick, you had to do all that stuff like play tag?
I know. You'd never have a chick.
Although guys do stuff for chicks all the time that they don't want to do. Like see move like romantic
farmers comedy. Market,
yeah, shit like that,
and that he just invites families he's just met to spend days at his house because he's just a good guy. He just loves new fans, and he invites their whole family over
and goes on shopping sprees with them.
Where... Yeah, takes them on big shopping sprees and gives them personal artifacts and
because
he
cash.
Just he and then of course he spends the time with the children because he only the boys. Just because he just loves children, just happens to usually be the boy who's 9 or 10. They're never 16. They're never 3. I mean, you have to believe all these things. It's just a crazy coincidence.
Sure. But it is.
Yeah. Or maybe he didn't. Who knows? Who knows? That's the thing. That's what I wanted to say. Who knows? Who the fuck knows? Mike, God, and this little boy know. That's about it. It's about it. The only reason that I can even talk about this shit is because everybody is speculating. They all think he did it. And I don't think he did it. I'm alone in this. I don't think he did it. I'm not going to say I don't think he did it. That's too strong. Let me just say I am reserving judgment until all the facts come out. But so far from what I heard, I mean, the kid said he was dying of cancer. He was in Make-A-Wish Foundation. He claims he had 2 weeks to live, and it was his dying wish to meet Michael Jackson. Come on, man, give me a fucking break. This kid is 10 years old. He don't remember Thriller. The fuck you want to meet Michael Jackson for, honestly? I remember Thriller, and I just, like, kind of want to meet this nigga. Like, I wouldn't break an appointment to meet him. I'll put it that way. I'd have to already be free. That's ridiculous. That's like if I'm dying in 2 weeks and go, oh, mama, oh, get me in a room with Chubby Chuckle. I wouldn't want to meet that motherfucker. My last 2 weeks, why not Usher or somebody like this? So then the kid claims he goes to Michael's house. This is where it all gets crazy. I don't, like, you know, he does everything you'd expect at Michael's house. They climbed trees and rode roller coasters and Ferris wheels. The chef made cookies, pies, and cakes. They was petting a monkey and a giraffe. Sing songs, kid shit. And in the middle of all this childlike activity, for some reason, Mike pulled out some wine and some pills.
Put out.
And sucked this kid's dick. Folks, it hurts me to say it. And the kid had the nerve to call that abuse. Motherfucker, that is a good host. God damn, what else do you want? What else do you want? I'm lucky to get a glass of grape drink at my friend's house. Let alone a roller coaster ride and my dick sucked. Mike must be confused. Like, I brought you in my house, I fed you, I sucked your dick, and this is how you repay me, motherfuckers? This was your wish, not mine.
Oh, Lord.
Thought you were dying in 2 weeks. What happened to that, motherfucker? I've been in court for a year and a half. You get stronger every time I see you.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
What?
Dave.
Yeah. Good perspective.
Well, this, since this thing is on again, might as well. Like we haven't spent any time on it.
Hey, you were talking about the hard-hitting interview with Taj Jackson.
Yeah.
On TMZ. Regarding another hard-hitting interview, this story came out today. Robin Roberts, who, by the way, you said GMA did not even
they did
reference
not, no,
it,
they
which
did
is
not,
mind-blowing to
today's
me.
Today's show and CBS, I had CBS on at 7. It was one of their teases,
yeah,
as in this thing aired last night. It's getting all kinds of reaction. Today's show, exact same thing. GMA, it's like it didn't air. No one told GMA that the Michael Jackson Leaving Neverland. I got to believe they think their audience doesn't want to know.
Yeah.
That they've decided that news is what you like, not what is news.
Yep.
Sir, except for Robert Arm sat down with Empire star Jussie Smollett. She's opening up about how she approached the highly publicized sit-down. I'll be completely honest. I was like, I don't know if I want to do the interview or not.
Mm,
oh, really?
Sure.
I don't want to sit down with him if he's going to lawyer up. And I was told, he wants to speak with you because he was outraged by people making assumptions about whether it happened or not. She's promised she could challenge him on the red flags and she'd get new information out of him.
Why didn't she? Why didn't she challenge him?
He wants to say things he has not said, and I'm like, as a journalist, as a news person, this is newsworthy. He's going to go on the record for the first time. Yes, I'll do the interview. But, you know,
Robin Roberts is the furthest thing from a journalist.
As far as
the story she worked on,
challenging him, you know, she asked him about the phone. And he said, I didn't give him the phone. I threw all these personal things in there. She never followed up and said, but it took you
records.
13 days, yeah. And you gave him PDF files because that had already happened.
Yeah.
So why didn't she ask about that? Because PDF files are not acceptable. They're also
why did it take 13 days, period?
No, it's ridiculous. It's crazy. I mean, that was a huge red flag.
She accepted. This is my problem. She accepted every answer he gave with no follow-up. That's not what you do.
They didn't do that to Nicholas Sandman. And they followed up on questions with him.
Yeah.
She did not follow up on anything. I sit down with him, and Savannah Guthrie did.
Yeah.
I sit down with him. I don't know what he's going to say. Following up about how he couldn't believe people didn't believe him. Well, I go, you're out 2:00 in the morning. You're getting a sandwich, and you won't give up your phone. Did she say that?
I don't remember her saying that.
I don't remember that either.
Maybe they cut it out. Maybe that was in part two that we didn't get to see.
It's possible. Trying to be as neutral as possible, she acknowledged the inherent pressure she felt to represent the LGBT community.
Well, then maybe she shouldn't
really?
Have done it. Maybe you shouldn't do the story then.
No, she obviously should not
she's
have done the story. No, she's not conflicted. She supports him.
Yeah. I just mean as far as the story goes.
I'm a black gay woman. He's a black gay man. He's saying there's a hate crime. So if I'm too hard, then my LGBT community is going to say you don't believe a brother. Well, then you shouldn't do the interview.
Yep.
How obvious, I mean, she's saying it right there. If I'm too light on him, it's like, oh, because you're in the community, you're giving him a pass. Exactly.
Conflict of interest.
Big time.
Precisely.
Not-
it's a no-win situation. Well, why don't you pass on the interview? Have Strahan do it.
Strahan.
It would have been just as hard-hitting.
Yeah. But he's black, so there's that aspect to it.
People are looking at the interview through the eyes of, how did you not know? I did the interview 48 hours before then. Had I had that information, knew what the brothers were alleging, heck yeah, I would have asked him about that. No, but there were a lot of other things.
Yeah, plenty.
It was 2:00 in the morning in a nice neighborhood in Chicago. They couldn't find anyone on the surveillance tape. I pride myself in being fair. I know how much work went into being balanced about what had happened and to challenge him on certain things. Oh, boy.
She didn't challenge him.
Sounds like you're straining to do some explaining.
Yeah.
Oh, Robin.
Adorable.
Honestly, this morning,
I can't believe it.
Is anyone talking about the fact that they didn't even touch
question.
That
I haven't
story?
Seen anything about it. I don't know. Did they save
just
it and
amazed.
Just bury it like as a quick mention somewhere?
I don't think so.
But you know, last week they didn't do any of the interviews that the other two did too, including with the Jackson family or the. Victims.
Oh, maybe they're just avoiding the story. Maybe they just decided that we don't want to touch that story.
That's what it sounds like.
Oh.
Well, Oprah, it's featured on OWN?
No, it's on HBO.
It's on HBO right after.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, Oprah has so many. She's got almost as many jobs as Seacrest. Yeah. She just floats wherever she wants to go.
I give Oprah credit for doing this because it tells me that Oprah's got a mind of her own and that she,
this
frankly, believes something is wrong here.
Mm-hmm. Oprah should do all difficult interviews.
She's done some pretty good. I thought that was really interesting when they said, and Taj Jackson. Taj Jackson. Who the fuck is he? He's his nephew. What? How is he an objective person? He says, Oprah's never been on our team. Well, if you're on your team, then you're not objective anyway. So that's silly. I'm sure she's a fan of Michael Jackson, but she's also not crazy about kids being molested. So she's probably somewhere in the middle.
Here's Taj.
He's got that cool Michael Jackson hat on. If they had come to you to interview you, what would you have told the documentary makers?
I would have said that Wade's, you know, changed his story about four different times.
Which they don't bring up.
He went to my uncle's memorial. He did tribute shows left and right for my uncle. The minute he did not get MJ1, he all of a sudden starts writing a book on the down low.
Yeah.
No one wanted to buy the book, and then all of a sudden he comes up with these allegations.
You know that the filmmakers have said that Wade and James were not paid to appear in the film.
But there's a court appeal right now happening, and they're suing the estate for hundreds of millions of dollars. So it's in their best interest to get the public.
It was,
you know, so what are you on their side.
About, I'm curious what you thought about this backlash that Oprah is getting even before interview was aired. It feels like, you know, Michael Jackson's fans are just assuming that Oprah believes what Wade and James are putting forward.
Well, you know, she watched this on her birthday on David Geffen's boat.
Yeah, she said it was very powerful.
David Geffen, we know, is not the biggest MJ fan, and there's
more
to that.
Being a fan, you idiot.
I don't want to get into now, but I think the fans are a lot smarter than people give them credit for, and there's definitely a connection in there. Oprah's never been on our team.
She's never been on our team. What if she's on your team? Then she wouldn't be a good person to do an interview anyway.
I really pray
time is up.
I really pray that karma comes back on Oprah full force and 10 times over. I pray that her whole empire comes crashing down. I pray she suffers. It's a nice tweet to her.
For interviewing
not
two people?
Only for what she has done, still trying to do to MJ, but many others as well. I don't care. I said what I said. Hashtag MJ innocent.
Does he even know what she's going to, you know, what the line of questioning is going to be?
Of course not,
Trudy. Are they jumping to the conclusion that it's going to be
well, you know why he came down on Oprah there is because she saw the interview
and thought it was disturbing.
And she said it was very powerful. She was very disturbed by it.
Right.
She saw the special, I mean, believe me, never
any normal human.
And he said she saw David Geffen got it for him. We know David Geffen has never been a fan of my what? So David Geffen's going to accuse him of child molestation? This is this whole idea that everyone's out to get Michael Jackson. No one is out to get Michael Jackson.
10
Everyone
years after
liked
that.
Michael Jackson. You know, honestly, when he died, I was stunned at how celebrated he was. No one even got him and said, this is part of him that maybe...
Yeah, should be mentioned.
Yeah. I do remember at the memorial how Al Sharpton blasted the media. They've been trying to kill him for years. Yeah, the media. Well, the media really is trying to bring down Michael Jackson.
Shut up, Sharpton.
Sharpton.
Get your own shit.
You know, it's funny. I remember where I was when he died, and at the risk of being ooed, it was over in Ireland.
Ooh!
When Jackson died, I remember talking to a guy over there. He was like a guy my age, just glowing about how much he loved Jackson. And I was like, "Do you know about the molestation stuff?" He's like, "Well, no, I never believed any of it." I said, "Really?" I started laying out for him. He's like, "I had no idea. Like, they just didn't know." People just don't know because they don't want to read about that shit, I guess.
It's funny. The response is so violent this time that
it's weird.
Can't help but wonder if it has to do with, you know, now that we're so used to violently disagreeing with each other on politics.
Well, that extends to that.
That it extends to everything else. Everything else becomes almost the same thing. And people think they can be just as big an asshole maybe they are in the political context.
Maybe some of these tweets are from bots.
Well, I did read a tweet that said Wade Robson broke up Brittany and Justin when he banged Brittany, and so you can't trust him around any celebrity.
Oh, when he was seven, he he seduced Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Wow.
Powerful.
Really?
So dumb.
Man.
Yeah, he seduced a heterosexual man, a seven-year-old boy. That's amazing. Jeez.
Who was independently wealthy and...
Yeah, and a superstar.
Wow.
Got himself invited over there.
Gross.
So that's the kind of thing? That's the flimsy thing that some people cling to?
Well, they're using everything and anything. If you just go to like Twitter ridiculous. And look at the hashtag MJ Innocent or the hashtag Mute Oprah... It's pretty crazy.
Wow.
Well,
a ton of support.
The part that's crazy is that these people would have you believe that they know what happened when 10-year-olds were sleeping in his bed for days on end.
Yeah.
They don't know. They don't know. They are assuming that he just loves children. He loves doing overnights, loves playing tag. Balloon fights are a blast. Hey,
they kind of know.
He's 40, but he just loved that stuff. He loved pillow fights. He loved playing video games. He loved choo-choo trains. He loved riding the choo-choo train. He loved going to the movie theater. And
sounds
he had,
fun.
Had all the candy you wanted. You could get whatever you wanted. He's like he's just his growth was retarded at age 12 because he didn't have a childhood.
Yeah.
Just like Tony Dow, Wally. Wally hangs around 12-year-olds, 10-year-olds all the time.
Really?
Haven't you noticed? Oh, yeah, he doesn't.
Tony Dow.
He doesn't.
He's draining Tony Dow in
I know. Well, I was just trying to think of somebody who
is he didn't, alive?
Didn't have a childhood.
His relative is Dr. Dow.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
He is alive.
I think he's alive. Yeah, Jerry Mathers, the beaver. Mm-hmm. He hangs around 10-year-olds all the time. They sleep in his... Oh, no, that's not true. Who's a child star from the 80s? Or the
Justin Timberlake. Howard.
Justin Timberlake, he hangs around 10-year-old boys constantly.
Yeah, he's got beds in every weird room in his house.
Yeah.
Dustin Diamond.
Gets accused of molestation regularly.
Yeah. Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Yeah, he gets accused of molestation all the time. And, you know, if he didn't have 10-year-olds over all the time,
he loves tag. Loves it.
He does. Paul Gosselaar, he does.
Yeah, Zach.
He has balloon movie. Fights. Water balloon fights. I mean, the
Christian Bale.
Oh, totally.
It's just, you know, the worst thing about it is...
Are you just trying to get a Newsies reference in?
He was a youngster in Newsies.
The
20th movie people think about when they think of Christian Bale.
Great flick.
It's all about attacking the victims. The victims, yeah, you know, he lied, he did this, his father did this. Jordy Chandler's father sounds like he was kind of a scumbag, to be honest. You know, he gave his kid sodium pentothal because he thought something was weird. Jackson was... The mother had told him that Jackson was sleeping over at their house in Jordan's room, and he kind of flipped out, and then he was trying to sell a screenplay. And so that screenplay has been, everything's a lie, because the father did this. You know, the kid identified his penis. Oh, no, he said he was circumcised.
Is he the one that killed himself? I know Safechuck's dad killed himself. But one of the other, either Gavin or Jordy's father off themselves.
I think it was Jordy's. There was a second.
So. Yeah, I think it was too.
Yeah.
Which means more money for Jordy because his parents got money too in the settlement.
Yeah, they each got a million, right?
$1.5 million, I think.
What? The parents got?
Parents. Yeah, the parents who put their kid out to slaughter.
Yeah.
The mother did. The mother let Jackson sleep. It was in their house, I believe, in his room. And he locked, their door was locked. And they were in there every night for 30 consecutive days.
But if he didn't do anything, why did he write a $1 million check to each one of the parents?
Because he just was tired of it. They're just being mean to him, and he wanted him to go away. He didn't do anything wrong. He just and $23 million is nothing.
Nothing mean to him.
It was Evan Chandler.
Yeah. And he was a butthole. But that doesn't mean it didn't happen. But that's what attorneys do. And he hired Gavin DeBecker, who was a private investigator to the stars. He was one of the, in fact, he served a few years in prison, by the way.
Gavin DeBecker?
Yeah, wasn't it Gavin DeBecker?
Is that who Bezos is using?
I don't know.
Isn't it the Bezos guy? Who's Bezos is that his using? Guy? I don't know.
Yeah, and he's had, he has used some very questionable methods to get dirt on people, for which he went to prison. I think we're talking about the right guy.
I don't see anything regarding Michael Jackson or Gavin DeBecker.
Yeah, Gavin DeBecker is Mr. Okay. Bezos' Wait, hold on. Security hold head.
On. You know what? It's another private investigator. He's very well known. He went to prison.
I know.
Because there were wiretaps.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't tell me. I don't want to know.
Didn't he?
I don't want to know. I'm going to figure it out.
He went to jail.
Anthony Pelicano. Somewhere.
Pelicano. Anthony Pelicano.
I said, don't say it. Anthony Pelicano.
So Anthony Pelicano dug up dirt on all the victims and their families.
Yeah, he was garbage. Pelicano, bad dude.
But back then he was a hero because he exposed the horrible victims and their horrible lying families.
Known as a Hollywood fixer. How do you get a job as a fixer? Great guy.
Okay, like Ray Donovan?
I want a job as a fixer.
The CEO of the San Francisco Giants took a leave of absence today.
Why? So he could fight with his wife.
So he could get his phone back. He could focus fully on getting his phone back. By the way, that thing was so dumb.
A little overblown?
I thought it was a little overblown.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an asshole.
Totally.
He was, there's a tiny part of me.
Oh my God!
Did she need to scream?
No. What's on that phone? That's the only thing I want to know.
I know. I felt the same way.
She's still saying, oh, my
chicks.
God.
You know it's got to be a woman.
Why is she still supporting him?
Didn't you kind of feel like, it's his phone?
He's waiting for a response
I feel like anybody that won't give you your
Bryce
phone.
Bryce Harper.
That they should give you your phone. But she didn't want to give him his phone, and he wanted his phone.
He was trying to sign Bryce Harper, too.
Lindsay Lohan and that guy when she threw his phone out of the truck, and they both got out and sprinted for the phone.
So stupid.
It was so dumb. No, they're obviously having a fight. Well, people said they were fighting for 20 minutes before he took the phone away from her.
Nice. Classic.
And he did knock her over. She tried to say, they both tried to say that, oh, she just hurt her foot and she lost her balance and that's why she fell over. No, she fell over struggling to hang on to the phone that he was trying to rip out of her hand.
It's an exciting update in Lohan world.
Oh, is there?
Give me my phone.
There it is.
Did you see her tit fall out?
Yes.
Nice.
Trudy's getting tired.
Uh-oh. Double shift. It's an update on Dina Lohan, who last we knew was in the Big Brother house and she was being catfished.
No, she's in love. The guy's in love with her. They've been talking for 5 years.
He has some of the best. Yeah, well, they talked for 5 years. They never saw each other, no FaceTime or anything. But, man, he has some phenomenal quotes in this story.
He can't wait to take her to bed.
How come Lindsay Lohan mama got a catfish?
I'll likely be flying out to see her in Tiburon. Mm-hmm. When I see her, I'm going to throw her over my shoulder like a fireman and take her to bed in the condo. Yeah!
Nice.
They've talked every day for 5 years without having ever met. Dean revealed her online relationship on Celebrity Big Brother, admitted at the time the two had not even FaceTimed. The communication has since transitioned to the next level.
All right.
Dean and I FaceTime now. Someone gave me an iPhone.
Someone had to give you an iPhone?
When this first started, we found each other on Facebook. Now Jesse's dreaming of the day the relationship turned sexual. Famous mom resides in New York.
Been backed up for 5 years.
I'm a red-blooded half-Sicilian. I can't wait to be with her physically. The sooner the better. What? He waited 5 years and he's in a big hurry now? What's up with that?
And he's telling Radar Online about it?
Then they asked him about her daughters. And he says, if those daughters for some reason don't like me, that's going to be a tough one. I would never make a mother choose between her and her boyfriend, her fiance, and her kids.
Kids are all grown.
Why would they not like him?
Yeah. Well, because he's talking to the media about banging their mom.
That's true. And he just does future audio of Jesse Nadler.
Not even going to make it to the bed.
All right, you want to get us out of here, Brandon?
You got it.
And tomorrow is another exciting Tuesday with Maz. Mm-hmm. Trudy will be 3 days deep into her new job.
It's already wearing you out.
What time do you have to get up?
I got up earlier this morning, 6 o'clock. I just wanted to be able to like take my time and prepare.
You have to do news.
And anything. I know, but I still show
prep. What
were
you freaking out about? Oh, you were show prep.
I heard you
mentioned Ted Lindsay.
Yeah.
Is that your first break?
Yes.
It was.
I think so. Or second, because I knew.
It was after the Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
On 106.7 WLZ. Classic rock for a new generation. I missed the new generation.
The new generation.
New generation.
I know what the music was, but I did not. Oh, okay. New generation classic rock. Is that the Sweeper?
Yes.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Good choice, Wheels.
I see. How's Podell doing?
Doing great. Really excited.
Is he?
He was at Autorama.
I saw a picture on Twitter. He was giving away Wheels shirts at Autorama already.
He was.
Oh. Wait, why don't we have shirts? You can bring a shirt. I sound like Maz. You know, sorry.
He was at Autorama?
Yeah. There's a picture of him on Twitter.
Somebody tweeted to me, "We know you can't say no, so can I have a I was glad that the Drew and Mike Nation has co-opted the whole thing.
They were very worried about you and that you wouldn't be here, which is kind of nice.
Uh-huh. There were a lot of first day tweets today I saw.
Yeah.
Are you liking them like David Spade? Anything about you like?
I do. I got to be careful because, you know.
All right, we'll pick on anybody. See you tomorrow.
Hi, welcome to the second Daddy and Charlotte podcast. I hope everybody's doing well. I am Daddy, and with me is Charlotte. Hello, Charlotte.
Hi, Daddy. Today we are going to talk about my sister.
Your sister? What's her name?
Her real name is Inez, and we sometimes call her Annie.
We always call her Annie.
I know. Sometimes when I'm pretending, I can list some of my pretend names for you. Like,
yeah, let's hear them.
Sarah and like Lena and then Jenna.
Yep, those are all your imaginary friend names.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what are we doing at Mr. Drew's house today?
Making a podcast.
Yep. But why were we over here today?
To watch Life's Mags and Layla.
Yeah. And what did we find in the house?
Don't talk about it.
Oh, okay. I think it was a Layla poo.
Shh. Stop it.
Okay, I'm sorry. And what do you have going on today?
Well, going on today, I was going to. We don't know yet.
You don't know what you're doing?
We're going to go to the party today.
Yep, you have a birthday party to go to. That sounds super fun.
Yep.
Are you excited?
Yep.
I have heard, somebody told me that you've been working on impersonations.
I have been working on impersonations.
Well, let's hear some. Who do you got? Can you impersonate Mama?
Charlotte, come on, eat dinner.
Yep, that's pretty good. I think you sound just like Mommy.
Yeah, pretty much, I think.
Can you sound like Dad? What does Dad sound like?
Johnny.
I do not sound like that.
That is my daddy impersonation.
That is not a daddy impersonation.
Yes, it is.
You want to hear my Charlotte impersonation?
Wow.
Play This Is Halloween. Play This Is Halloween. Play This Is Halloween. Play This Is Halloween.
You have to do my voice.
That's all right. Play This Is Halloween. Play This Is Halloween. Play This Is Halloween.
I know my short voice, so I don't need to do short
voice. Yeah, your shoulder voice is your voice.
I'll show you my impersonation of Annie.
Okay. Hey, where are you? What did you, when you came home yesterday from going to your doctor's appointment, what did you tell me?
It's the weekend!
Baby! You didn't do the baby.
It doesn't matter.
It's the weekend, baby! Do it. Let me hear it. What? Where are you going?
I want to switch sides.
You can't. Okay, where are you going to? What microphone are you going to?
Your side.
My side? Okay, the white chair? That's Mr. Drew's spot. You want to sit Mr. Drew's spot?
Yeah.
Okay, sit Mr. Drew's spot.
And if I want to switch.
Can you do a Mr. Drew impersonation?
No.
Why not? What are some silly things you know?
Well, don't know that many.
Yeah? You like to sing and dance, right?
Yeah.
What else do you like? You like princesses, right?
Yeah.
Who's your favorite princess right now?
Jasmine.
Oh, yeah. You've been big on Aladdin lately, haven't you?
Yeah.
There's a lot of silly things down here I see you're looking at. What are you looking at that's get your attention? Do you like all the stickers on that pole?
That's a lot of it, though.
Yeah, those are all Mr. Brandon's. Did you know he put them all up there with Mr. Joey?
No.
No? What else would you like to talk about today? It's your podcast.
I want to switch seats again.
All right, switch seats. I guess we should call this the Musical Chairs podcast with no music.
You should go check on my Megs and Layla.
Remember what I told you Megs did the other day?
What?
He pooped on the floor and wiped his butt on the carpet down here.
I remember.
It was gross. Do you think we should get a dog?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want to.
But you like dogs.
I know, but I like cats a little bit more, and we already have a cat.
Me too. I'm with you. Should we get another kitty cat?
No! I want to go check on Mike and Mike
so,
and Layla.
Okay, so we want to wrap up the podcast?
I want to take a break for a second.
Oh, don't do that.
Bye. I'm going to go check on them.
All right, well, I guess that wraps up the second Daddy Charlotte Fellhauer podcast. All right, bye.